The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Friday. It is October 1st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, starting Friday, Philadelphia businesses will begin phasing out single-use plastic bags. A six-month grace period will give customers and establishments time to adjust to the bag ban. Enforcement will begin in April of 2022. Wawa says it's ready with its Skip the Bag for Good initiative. Starting at 7 a.m. today, Wawa is offering 1,000 free reusable bags with the purchase in all 42 Philly stores while supplies last.
I got mine already.
Nice.
It's a red bag. I'll have my Wawa red bag.
Yeah, Kathy, my wife is at the Target over here on City Line Avenue last weekend. She got free Target ones. They were giving away free ones at Target.
So for I think it was Christmas last year, I got my wife some like designer reusable bags. This can be a gift you can buy for someone now for the time being.
And then they can sit in your garage in a little neatly organized basket, and then you never take them
used.
To the store.
No, keep them in the car.
Forget. Leave them in the car.
Leave them in the trunk.
It causes a mess. I think we talked about this before.
In the trunk.
Yeah, because they'll spread out all over.
You need a container.
We actually had this conversation. I said I need to move my basket into the trunk of my car.
I keep a small bureau in my trunk.
Yeah, nice. That's what I need.
Yeah, so that I can.
I have an armoire
for my masks and my other all the other crap
toolboxes.
Yeah.
Didn't we also talk about Preston and Steve bags or MMR bags?
Disposable? I think we did. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
We need to do that.
We should do that.
This is also extending to just regular bags. Like M&Ms will be loose on the shelf now.
Yeah. Right. You just can grab with your hand and go. Yeah. So after that, customers can buy the reusable bags. After the Wawa bags are out of supply, they can actually buy them for 25 cents. You can bring your own, or you can skip using a bag altogether if you go to Wawa. Now, Philly's plastic bag ban was passed in December of 2019, but was delayed due to the pandemic. Philadelphians will have two options. Use the new bags provided by the retailer, or bring your own reusable bag with you.
Okay. So, and we brought this up. I'm going to mention it again. A lot of people use those plastic bags for cat litter.
Yes.
You can order, and they're really good. I get them on Amazon. They're biodegradable bags for cat litter, and they're for all intents and purposes, they're a plastic bag. They'll break down.
They have dog poop bags that are that
same
way, too.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a good idea. Kathy, I have an idea for where to put your bags in your car. So in the driver's side, or actually both sides, doors, there's usually like a small slot in the bottom there. Do you put anything down in there?
That's where she keeps her soup.
Clear, and it's a cup holder. I have my water bottle.
Oh, really? But you could use that as a place to stash your bags there.
Yeah, that's
nice.
And we would messy.
Just
oh,
do it.
God damn it!
I'm sorry. I don't like clutter in my car.
I want to say the F word so bad right now. What the F is wrong with you?
She's very clutterless.
Clutter is functional.
I have a way that'll work. Take the handle of the plastic bags or your bags and just loop it around the shift.
Right.
And that won't get
you. But you can get these bags that fold into themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And they wrap around.
Like an aardvark.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I don't like those. No, I'm kidding. Just playing.
You can
with
stick
me now.
Your fall activities up your ass, okay?
Oh, what, now you don't like fall activities
because I don't like your bag option?
Yes. No, I do need to use them. I have so many of them. Uh-huh. And I will figure something out because I'm going to need to. They're saying it's a change. People are going to have to get used to them and remember to bring their bags
in the trunk will work fine. Or
she'll know it's there.
Yeah, but she's in an SUV.
We have a couple that are right at the door as you're going in and out, that are on the door handle of one of the doors you're going in and out.
Kathy's in an SUV, so her trunk is not really a trunk. It's an open space. And so I understand that. But
are there any little hidden compartments that open up and you stash stuff in inside the back? There probably is.
Preston, how about the Garmin hook?
Yeah, you can hang them on the Garmin hook.
I'm not hanging it on the Garmin hook. Yes, I do have. I'm going to have to take my salsa shoes and my wine bottles out of there.
I put all of my bags in one bag. So I take all my disposable bags and put them in one.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's a little less clutter, and it's in the back.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, I'm just playing with you. I'll figure it out. I will use reusable bags for sure. The ban will affect all commercial establishments of all sizes in Philadelphia that make bags available for carry out items such as food, clothing, home goods, etc., and for delivery. There are some exceptions. Dry cleaner and newspaper bags are exempt, as well as bags sold for use as garbage bags or to contain pet waste or yard waste, like we said. And then bags used for meats, fish, and bakery items while you're inside the store.
Quickly, why are dry cleaner bags exempt?
Because they like suffocating children.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you have to wrap your clothes.
You have to wrap it in something.
Yeah. Keep it clean.
Well, yeah, you just got it cleaned.
Yeah, you're going to wear it eventually, right? It'll get dirty then. So start the process early.
On your way home.
Let's clean out your car like Kathy does.
Yeah, you can like...
Kathy, just look up on Amazon or wherever trunk boxes or trunk box.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Nice little container.
Yeah. Nice little container that you probably put right up against your back seat.
Yeah, yeah.
It will secure, and some of them have a connection for your seatbelt. It's a great place to put your fishing tackle.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, yeah. I can believe that there, too. Thank you for the suggestions. Travelers could be looking at new COVID restrictions as the holiday season approaches. It's one of several COVID-related updates for the airline industry. A proposed bill would require a COVID vaccine negative test or be fully recovered from a previous COVID illness for domestic air travel ahead of the holidays. United Airlines announced it's letting go close to 600 employees who chose not to comply with the company's vaccine requirement. The airline says it represents less than 1% of their U.S.-based employees. It referred to the decision as incredibly difficult but necessary for safety. People in the industry expect some passengers will continue to resist COVID travel restrictions, including wearing masks, with the most extreme being fights with flight attendants. There could be new potential travel guidelines ahead of what has traditionally been the busiest travel season of the year. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar will perform for the first time on stage together at the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show. The NFL, Pepsi, and Roc Nation announced Thursday that the five music icons will perform on February 13th.
It's a big lineup. It doesn't speak to me.
But no, that's not at all. But it is big.
Some heavy hitters. It's like when they do the country themed ones too. I'm not into that either. It's just not my personal preference. But that's some big names right there.
You know who does blow me away, though? I mean, listen, there's some talented people, obviously. Mary J. Blige is super talented.
Yeah,
she's
really
good.
I don't know her. And so three out of five, I'm like, okay, Snoop, Dre, and Eminem, I'm definitely down with. Mary J. Blige, I know that she has a...
She's great.
She's Blige.
One of the great R&B singers.
Yeah, but I don't know. I couldn't name you one of her songs. And Kendrick Lamar, he's another one where I know he's got, like, gravitas. I don't know much about him.
Yeah, I don't know much about Kendrick
Watch
Lamar.
Watch the Academy Award winning movie. Tom Cruise where he plays the Rock. Is it Rockstar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rock of Ages. She plays the strip club owner. Okay. And she has incredible singing voice.
She's in Umbrella Academy,
yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
She's
excellent
in that. Cha-Cha, I think, was her character.
No, is he?
I get the two mixed
because
up.
Because it could be...
They have funky
I
names.
Think she might be Hazel and he's Cha-Cha.
Hazel and Cha-Cha, anyway.
Or no, I'm probably wrong. So let's just flip it around.
All right, anyway.
Right? Yep. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Lamar are Southern California natives. Dre emerged from the West Coast gangster rap scene alongside Eazy-E and Ice Cube to help form the group N.W.A., which made a major mark in the hip-hop culture and music industry with controversial lyrics in the late 1980s. Dre is responsible for bringing forth rap stars such as Snoop Dogg, Eminem, 50 Cent, and Lamar. Dre also produced Blige's number one hit song, Family Affair. The opportunity to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show and do it in my own backyard will be one of the biggest thrills of my career, Dre said in a statement. The seven-time Grammy winner added that their halftime performance will be an unforgettable cultural moment. The Super Bowl returns to Los Angeles for the first time since 1993. It's the third year of collaboration between the NFL, Pepsi, and Roc Nation.
I didn't know Dre's real name was Myron Finkel.
Wow, no. By the way, she was Cha-Cha.
There we go.
Roc Nation and Emmy-nominated producer Jesse Collins will serve as co-producers of the halftime show. The game and halftime show will air on NBC. The five music artists have a combined 44 Grammys. Eminem has the most with 15. In sports this morning...
Yes, sir.
The Phillies needed to go to Atlanta and win at least two of three games or sweep the Braves.
Oh, my God, but did they do it?
No, the Braves swept the Phillies instead.
What the fuck is this?
Finishing off the series with a 5-3 win last night.
Now I want to use the F word.
The National League East. The Phillies wrap up their season with a weekend series in Miami against the Marlins. Ranger Suarez will get the start tonight. The first pitch is scheduled for 7:10. In preseason hockey, Joel Farabee opened the scoring with a power play goal, but the Bruins then scored four straight on their way to a 4-2 win over the Flyers last night in Boston.
What the
f- Mark Jones stopped 8 out of 11 shots he faced before stepping aside for Felix Sandstrom, who stopped 12 out of 13. The preseason continues tomorrow night with the game at home against the Washington Capitals. In Thursday night football, the Bengals kicked a field goal as time expired to beat Jacksonville 24-21 last night in Cincinnati. And the Eagles return to the link this weekend and will play the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. Yesterday, the team announced that LeSean McCoy will retire as an Eagle and be honored as a team legend when they face his old head coach, Andy Reid. The six-time Pro Bowler said, "I've decided to retire an Eagle because this is home to me. I still have that green inside my heart. There are times when I'd see the Eagles on TV and it just felt weird not wearing that uniform." Kickoff on Sunday is set for 1 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome you to Friday morning. I wish we had a bartender here. I'm so ready to start the weekend. It's fantastic. We do have some great things all set up. We're giving away a Word of the Week prize today. It's nothing but cash. We have money there. We have the money clips two times a day. Your chance to win cash that in that opportunity, too.
It's the greatest gift of all.
It is. And we have comedian Shane Torres, who is on the show this morning, Punchline in Philly tonight and tomorrow. So we will talk to Shane in the 9 o'clock hour. Quick check in with our friend Brian Propp, former Flyer, of course, and ambassador to the team. There's an event coming up he wants to hit, so we'll talk to him, too. And we have anything we have left to give away, we are giving away today.
That's a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and something else.
Yeah, we have the big premiere of the 2021 Fall Activities from Captain. It is October 1st. We have this nice cooler temperature. It all fits together. Today's the day to do it.
Yes. I mean, and again, with this weekend kicking off fall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quintessential. Perfect.
Yeah. Do you have any, are you participating in any activities this weekend,
Oh,
Kathy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I started last night.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, nice.
Fall activities. We have a new fall activities jingle, too, which is outstanding. I think it's the best of the lot. Kyle McCarty, of course, our man who does all that. So we're going to get to that at about 8:15, 8:20, somewhere around that time is what we're going to shoot for. So Kathy will roll out the full list, and we have a lot of things to talk about today. So let's take a break, come back in a second. The Entertainment Report is up next with a stupid question as well. Be back in a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And probably other places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stupid question, prize, pair of tickets to see Patton Oswalt. No, that's the lesson question. We'll do that later. Tickets to see Chris Stapleton tonight at BB&T Pavilion. And the question I have for you this morning is, what does a pluviometer measure?
Pluviometer.
Yes, I guess that's how you pronounce this.
Pluviometer.
P-L-U-V-I-O meter.
Yeah.
Pluviometer. What does that measure? 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. Got a lot to get to today, and I'll mention some birthdays while we're waiting for the answer. Today is the 1st of October, and it is Julie Andrews' birthday today.
The great Julie Andrews. If all she ever did was The Sound of Music, that would be enough.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the iconic role of Mary Poppins, of course, too.
But so great.
Yeah, Sound of Music is, Steve, we mention it every year, any time that it comes up, that was a special occasion when that show was going to be on TV.
Hours. And you'd sit there. They'd have it go for like 3 hours. And it's awesome.
It is.
And you know what? I don't care how much you bristle at the notion of musicals and so on and so forth. If you've never seen it, you need to see it.
Yeah.
Because the songs, it's got Nazis.
The songs are just great. Yeah. And it has Nazis.
They're fighting the Nazis.
Yeah.
I tried maybe a year or two ago. I couldn't.
Do it.
But they fight Nazis.
I know. This, and it's weird because I'm a theater musical nerd.
It's very
dated.
It's of a time, and if you grew up with it, maybe you give it some leeway.
But like, the Hills Are Alive.
I know. Mary Poppins for me is her. That's my jam.
We grew up, though, like it was, like you said, it was when it was going to be on TV, that was like, that's what we were doing that night.
Yeah.
And we got it all set. It was every year, whenever it played, and everybody, the family sat down and we watched it.
Yep.
It's great. Climb Every Mountain. And the nun that has a bizarrely fantastic singing voice, sings the song. It's amazing.
I'm going on, I'm 16,
I am 16 going on 17.
Did you ever see the SNL bit? Where they yes. talk about how young she is.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you?
I am 16. Going on 17, I know that I'm naive.
Okay, she was going to get a little stinky.
What are the laws in this particular country?
All right, well, anyhow, moving on. Julie Andrews is 86, and you know else whose birthday it is today? Hall of Famer Rod Carew.
Ooh. He's
converted. He's 76 today. It's also Jimmy Carter's birthday.
Wow.
He is 97 years old. Wow. Listen, with his tumor that he had a little while back, I thought...
He beat it.
I thought that that his days were like coming to an end quickly.
He also gave us one of the best memes of this year when President Biden and First and Lady visited them, and they looked like they were rag dolls.
They looked tiny. I know. So he's 97. It's also one of the most sane individuals in the world, Randy Quaid's birthday today.
Oh, my.
He's insane. He's out of his mind. He is 71.
Randy Quaid is so good, though, in so many things. I mean, if you ever saw that miniseries where he was LBJ, he was incredible.
Yeah.
He can act. And I mentioned Quick Change before, Steve, but he breaks down and into lunacy in that movie. So great.
He's 71 today. It's also Mark McGwire's birthday today, the baseball star's first one to break Roger Maris's record.
He converted.
He's 58 today. Christopher Titus, actor and comedian. He's been here on a couple of occasions.
Yes.
Very intense guy. Very hyper.
Check out his podcast.
Yeah.
He's like bouncing off the walls.
He's 57. Actor Isai Morales.
Oh, he's great.
La Bamba. He played Richie's brother in that. That's him.
Oh.
Yelling Richie.
That's how they woke up in the morning.
That's from La Bamba?
That's from La Bamba when he found out Richie died.
I thought that was from Boys in the Hood.
No.
That's Ricky.
That's Ricky.
Ricky gets
Ricky.
Yes.
Yeah, this is...
Ricky!
And I'm telling you what, I only watched some of the first season of Ozark, but he's in that first episode, first few episodes. My God, is he ruthless.
So you don't know what happens to him?
No.
Okay.
Wait, what show?
In Ozark.
He dies touring with Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
He's the drug kingpin.
Yeah.
And he is...
There's a scene that's
brutal.
Jarring with him.
Oh, I think it was the end. It was the last episode of that season. And I was like...
I'll watch next season.
All right, jarring as in nerve-wracking, or were they putting up preserves?
I didn't see it coming.
No,
and
you don't see it coming.
There are not a lot of jaw-dropping moments on TV anymore, but that scene with him in the last episode of Ozark Season 1 got me.
All right. He's 59.
Thank you.
He's 59. That's
forgot your luggage!
What else did you just
You pack? Forgot to pack your thumbtacks!
I have two Rickies, and so let me know, do you like this one?
Ricky!
Or do you like this one?
Right,
Ricky.
That second one is from Boys in the Hood, too?
No, the second one is from Better Off Dead.
Right, Ricky.
Let's see. Brie Larson, the actress, is 32 today.
Wondering when we're going to see another Captain Marvel movie.
They're working on
it. Yeah. I enjoyed her, especially in Endgame, her
demeanor.
She's so sure. You know, she's just absolutely... No question that she's as powerful as she is.
When she shows up outside of the ship that Tony Stark, he's dying, and she sees the glow of her outside and she's looking, it's very cool.
And when all hell is breaking loose and Peter's got the gauntlet and he says, hey, I'm Peter Parker. She's like, hey, Peter Parker. just that little smirk. Fantastic.
November of next year for the second one.
And then last birthday is Beck Bennett of Saturday Night Live.
Very funny guy.
37 today.
Yeah, he just had yesterday or the day before. He's leaving.
All right, and there you go. Those are your birthdays. Let's see if we get an answer to the stupid question, and it is what does the pluviometer measure? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys.
All right, Jeremy, what does the pluviometer measure?
Rain.
Rainfall, yes. Precipitation, exactly. Hang on, Jeremy.
Why not the rainometer?
That's a good question. We're going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton Friday. That's today at BB&T Pavilion, and tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. I have a lot to get to. So Ellen Pompeo shared this story, and she was kind of blowing up on social media yesterday. It was on the latest episode of her podcast, Tell Me with Ellen Pompeo, that she got into an argument with Denzel Washington when he directed Grey's Anatomy in 2016. She told her guest and former co-star Patrick Dempsey that she yelled an improvised line to another actor during an emotional scene which resulted in Denzel's going ham on her ass. And she
ham
said,
ass?
Yeah, ham on her ass. And she said, he was like, I'm the director. Don't you tell him what to do. And the star said that she replied, I was like, listen, mother effer, this is my show. This is my set. Who are you telling? However, she clarified, saying that she has the utmost respect for him as an actor and a director, and that it was smooth sailing after that. That's all that I know about that.
I know that it, after the fact, I think it caught her off guard because it blew up against her on social media.
Yeah,
a lot of people were like, listen, I just watched The Equalizer 2 again for the 450th time. Denzel pretty much can do no wrong. I don't even know what happened, but I'm siding with Denzel.
And I can see on the surface if you're saying that you're coming back at Denzel Washington saying, "Look, mother effer."
Yeah.
Dude, come on, man.
No.
It's Denzel.
I don't care.
So back off.
And I could be totally wrong, but Denzel wins in this one.
Yeah, totally. What's this case?
No, it was ham.
Ham ass.
Okay. Let's see. The sexy ad for Good Americans Find the One campaign featuring Khloe Kardashian is apparently too hot for broadcast. A spokesperson for the clothing company told E! News the commercial was rejected for TV in its original form, and it's now being edited with less skin to make it more suitable for airing.
Oh, my gosh, you saw my boobie.
However,
a little nip slip. Sorry, guys.
A 15-second snippet of the ad is featured on her Instagram, and the full-length video can be found on YouTube. The clip shows a reality star topless in bed wearing her Good American jeans.
I thought I was seeing it yesterday, but it turned out it was a brown bear in a children's waiting
room. Oh, my God.
So I didn't see the commercial that you guys were talking about. I'm referencing the Daily Rush with Chloe. Kathy, you guys were talking about it where she can't move her face.
Oh, yeah.
And also,
did you finally see it?
I finally, Nick Murphy did a great job, and he actually spliced the commercial into what you guys were talking
were
about.
Were we right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah. It's hilarious and true.
All right. I love this story. So, Mick Jagger, the Stones were playing a concert at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, okay? Possibly one of the world's most recognizable men walked into this bar, hung out, had a beer. Nobody had any idea that he was even ever there. And there's photographic evidence of him at the bar. No one recognized him.
I checked it out after you said it.
And went.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, well, maybe he's right there. He's right there.
He's hanging out.
And I'm wondering, Preston, if it was a case of, there's no way Mick Jagger's in this bar, so I'm not even going to entertain it.
Yeah, right. Like where you look, you're like, God, that guy looks like.
What would he be doing here?
Okay,
well, they were in town.
Yeah,
I know.
Good for him, though. He probably enjoyed it.
He probably loved it, right? That's what I was thinking, too, Kathy.
Yeah, fried pickles.
There's a guy who listens to us who lives there. He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and his name is Jeff McElwee. And he emailed me yesterday. He said, I'm a huge fan. Been listening for, 16 years. That bar is his favorite bar. He knows the owners and the staff, and he has the inside scoop.
It's called the Thirsty Beaver Saloon, by the way.
Yeah, so this guy is he's a huge fan of the show, and he goes to this bar all the time.
It's apparently a well-known bar. It was it's a hole in the wall.
Yeah,
and
but it has the reputation.
The story behind it is they the city, I guess, wanted to buy it up and build apartments there. And they refused to leave, and so they built the apartments around it.
Like it up.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so when you see a pulled back shot of this, you'll see all these buildings up around this tiny little bar. It's one of those types of places.
I love that. So
it's a hole. It's a local known hole. So Mick came in for a beer. Nobody knew he was there the entire time. And I read an article written by this guy, and it goes into detail, but I'll read you some of the experts. The guy, believe it or not, the bar's owner, his name is Brian Wilson.
Oh, from the Beach Boys.
Another music legend.
Yeah.
So that's his name, though. But he had no idea that Mick came in. He said, I wasn't there. I missed it. I was putting my little girl to bed. He left the Beaver around 5 and came back around 11:45 that night, and there was no buzz or gossip or talk amongst the staff that Mick Jagger had been there at all. He said, I didn't even know he was there. And he said, I don't know what time he was there exactly. He said, between 10 and 11, I think.
Think of how cool that must have been for Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Not that he was...
Totally.
He was not clearly trying to hide himself, but that he could just be a regular guy for a night.
So the interviewer in this article said, I asked Brian if I could talk to one of those regulars. He said, I don't want to make fun of them. One of the regulars that was in and didn't notice him. Because in the picture, the guy Brian says, oh, yeah, I know this guy, I know that guy. They're regulars. And he said, I don't want to make, the interviewer said, I don't want to make fun of them. And Brian says, oh, no, we're making fun of him. He's like, he's been ripping them because those guys, those regulars had tickets to see that concert.
No.
He said, they'll pay $400 for tickets on the floor, but they don't recognize Mick Jagger when he walks in the door. The bartender also did not recognize Mick. Brian said, she's young. That was his comment on that.
There we go. But still, Mick Jagger.
Brian thinks that Mick paid cash. He said, I went through the credit card receipts to see if I had a Mick Jagger signature anywhere.
Did you take the Discover card?
And there wasn't. But not being recognized is apparently kind of a thing at the Beaver. Brian says, Casey Musgraves came in one time. This is back in 2019.
I love Casey Musgraves.
Who is she?
She's a kind of a, well...
Country singer?
Yeah, but she transcends country, so she's more onto the pop realm, but I think she came on. But anyway.
So Musgraves posted up about being there on her Instagram stories, but nobody else seemed to have made a big deal about it. He said, my brother was bartending that night and didn't recognize her.
Well, I have a strong feeling that the likelihood of not being recognized if you're a celebrity from here on in is going to change dramatically now that people are going to go to this place expecting to see these people drop by.
He did say, however, that people did recognize Dale Earnhardt Jr. one night at the Beaver, but they pretty much left him alone, which is a miracle in the Carolinas that somebody would leave Dale Earnhardt alone. Sturgill Simpson was there before. He was famous. But Brian says that he's mad that he missed that Mick Jagger came in. I mean, that's...
Did he tip well?
There is no bigger. There's no word on it. I have no idea.
This is like the house and up.
They didn't know it was him, so I don't know. All right, moving on. I have some other things. Gloria Estefan, the singer, has revealed that she was sexually abused by a family member when she was 9 years old.
This is horrible, man.
This is with, you remember I mentioned yesterday, Claire Crawley, who is from The Bachelor, or Bachelorette, I don't remember which one.
Bachelorette.
Was saying that she also had, she was on and she was talking about that. That's when Gloria had admitted to this as well. She spoke for this on the first time in a Facebook Watch show alongside her grown-up daughter and niece. They were doing the Red Table Talk, the Estefans. She said, I wanted to deal with the subject matter. It is so important to try to prevent. I also did not want to sit here quietly while you share your story and are brave, talking about Claire Crawley. She said it was a distant relative that had exploited her mother's trust to molest her. She said, you've waited this moment a long time. Her daughter said that. She said he was family, but not close family. He was in a position of power because my mother had put me in his music school, and he immediately started telling her how talented I was and how I needed special attention and how she felt lucky that he was focusing on this kind of attention on me. She said the abuse started little by little, and then it went fast. The three-time Grammy Award winner said that she was aware that she was in a dangerous situation but couldn't ward the man off. She said, I told him this can't happen. You can't do this. And he goes, your father's in Vietnam, your mother's alone, and I will kill her if you tell
him. Oh, my God.
So, I mean, he wasn't dancing around and pretending like something else was going on. She said, I knew the man was insane, and that's why I thought he might actually hurt my mother. The anxiety made her lose chunks of hair, she said.
Aww.
And eventually she told her mother about what was happening. And although her mother informed the police, and this was back then, they advised her not to press charges because she would, quote, go through worse trauma having to get on the stand and testify. So, thankfully, things have changed that way.
So, I don't know if I saw this in the article, but was that the first time ever she admitted to that?
I think it might be, because I didn't, you know, she was saying she wanted to get this out in the open. So that's horrible, horrible news. But sharing stories like this can hopefully help people heal and also make us more aware of what might be happening.
Encourage
and that,
other people.
And that it's okay to speak up, and you should, when things like this happen to you. All right, lighter news. Scarlett Johansson and Disney have settled the lawsuit over her compensation from Marvel's Black Widow.
Yay!
The actress said in a statement that, I'm happy to have resolved our differences with Disney. I'm incredibly proud of the work that we've done together over the years and have greatly enjoyed my creative relationship with the team. Now that they've paid me, I'm very happy.
No, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I look forward to continue our collaboration in years to come. The Disney Studios chairman, Alan Bergman, added, I'm very pleased that we have been able to come to a mutual agreement with Scarlett Johansson regarding Black Widow. We appreciate her contribution to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and look forward to working together on a number of upcoming projects, including Disney's Tower of Terror. The terms of the deal were not disclosed, obviously.
I bet it's pretty chunky.
Yeah, so Disney...
They'd want to keep her. I mean, even though, you know, technically in one realm, her character is gone, but... this movie was made, and it was after the fact.
I don't think it's one of those cases where the two parties hate each other. No. I think she just had a case to be made, and it was probably trying to set a little bit of precedent when it came to like, what happened in movies during the pandemic.
The suit filed by her in Superior Court claimed that Disney was in breach of contract because streaming on Disney Plus siphoned potential theatergoers, costing her potential compensation.
Which is true.
Tied to the movie's theatrical revenue. Disney countered that Johansson was paid $20 million for the film. So.
I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah. I thought it was well done. I love those, again, not where the entire world is ending scenario. You know, more of that.
Yep. Let's see here. Peloton instructor Cody Rigsby has tested positive for COVID-19 just days after his dance partner, Cheryl Burke, had contracted the virus.
Not Cody Rigsby.
The Dancing with the Stars contestants announced on Instagram Thursday that he had mild symptoms like congestion and a slight headache. Rigsby added, in comparison to when I had COVID earlier this year, it's night and day, so that must be the vaccine and the antibodies working, so we're super grateful for that. It's uncertain if he will remain on the current season or not, but they both have had it now.
That's one, if you're your dance partner, like, that's how I got the swine flu. I was salsa dancing at the time. And
you guys are in such close proximity.
I mean, you're sweating on top of each other.
Right.
Yeah, and you're breathing the same air. I mean,
You're having sex.
You're having sex on the floor in front of other people. Yeah.
Depends on the dance.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
The Lombada, the forbidden dance.
NBC will be ringing in the new year with Miley Cyrus this year. She will replace Carson Daly.
Wow, what happened there?
As the host of the network's New Year's Eve coverage. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Are you joining me? This year is going to be more rocking than ever.
The Lorne Michaels produced special has been envisioned as a multi-hour, multi-city event with musical performances. But sources told the outlet that nothing is official yet, but we'll see.
Okay, so they had Ryan Seacrest, and then they had Carson Daly, and no, I guess...
Seacrest was ABC.
Yeah, ABC.
Oh, that's
this
right.
He took over the Dick Clark role.
Yes, so, there you go.
I can see why they would go after her. She's energetic. Yeah. She's an entertainer and all that. She is incredibly annoying to me personally.
But not to other people.
But I get why they would make a decision like that. So she might be a good fit. We'll see.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I probably won't be watching.
Judge Judy Scheinland has a new bailiff. When Judge Judy launches her new show, Judy Justice, on IMDb TV in November, she will be accompanied by a new bailiff named Kevin Rasko instead of Petrie Hawkinsbird, who appeared on Judge Judy for 25 years.
So is this guy a legitimate bailiff that they got?
I don't know. She said in a trailer that Rasko is one of the warmest people. The cast also includes stenographer Whitney Kumar and her granddaughter, Sarah Rose, who will be working as a law clerk.
So when she left Judge Judy and went off to do her... she's retiring. No, she's not. We knew she was going to have her own... I mean, she's back with basically the same show with a different name.
I don't. Why doesn't she retire? God, my God, she's got more money than...
She's in fabulously wealthy.
...personality in the world, and you can just... I guess she must like being in that little room, settling over, you know, people who had their, you know, dog eat a toy from somebody's yard.
Car keyed.
Yeah.
I know what it was. It was probably any performer at one point would love to have a show on IMDb TV.
There you go. Yeah. Maybe that was the draw. But, I mean, you know, she can cash it in, do whatever she wants to do.
Remember the picture of her yacht?
Oh,
she
said
sold it, but it was like a super yacht.
Yeah. Season 13 premiere of the Wendy Williams daytime talk show has been postponed again.
Guys, I got some bad news.
Yeah.
I have COVID.
A source told Page Six on Thursday that it was a last-minute decision to give Williams more time to focus on her health.
How you doing?
And I don't know, is it physical health, mental health?
It's everything.
Okay, it's all that health. So she's going to work on that. Alan Taylor, who directed The Many Saints of Newark, and several episodes of The Sopranos, revealed to The Hollywood Reporter that he believes, in his heart of hearts, that Tony Soprano is dead. Of course, the series ended with a cliffhanger.
It was the big question. It was a controversy.
Mm-hmm. The show's finale, Made in America, famously ended with the screen fading to black while the family was in mid-conversation at a diner. Of course, this song is playing. And, you know, they left the interpretation up to the audience, which...
They put on some journey.
Which some people hate, you know, when you do that. They want a definitive ending.
It looked like they were about to get their demise.
Yeah, like everybody was going to get taken out in a hit at the very end there. So, but that's what... He's the guy who directed, you know, this current movie and a bunch of episodes, and he thinks, that's...
There are other people that believe that they are saved by Captain Marvel.
Oh, my God.
Which is a whole other series.
Why not? Sean Penn returned to work on Gaslit on Thursday, the limited series that he stars in with Julia Roberts.
It's about lighting farts.
Yep, it's about lighting farts. Which that, Sean Penn and Julia Roberts, starring in a movie all about
lighting farts. You to hold it closer to my ass. It keeps going out. We can do this. Don't burn the butt hairs. We don't do something that's very dangerous. And there's only one person I can trust. I need you to hold the lighter. I'll be there for you. From Touchstone Pictures, everyone at some point chases the blue flame. Gaslight.
One more time with the sound effects. That was perfect. A tragedy.
Yeah.
That's one of the episodes. Yeah. Somebody dies from a fart explosion.
He'll never walk again.
What happened to you?
He has no ass.
Back in July, Penn had left the production and refused to return to work until everyone in the production had been vaccinated against COVID-19. And Deadline reports that while the production continued to shoot without him, he and the studio finally reached a compromise, and the entire crew he worked with upon his arrival return was vaccinated. So they're back at it. I don't even know where that show airs.
It's the one with his daughter, is it not?
With stars so big, you know... It's amazing that Julia Roberts and Sean Penn
on this
thing can get lost to me because they're some of the biggest in the industry, but it's a limited series.
Right. I would say Amazon, right? Because that's where he was on a show on Amazon. The space show, right? And I enjoyed it. Yeah. I mean, it started off strong. It moved a little bit slow, but the way it ended, I was hoping that there would be, and I thought there could be a second season.
Spicoli in space.
Is she? I can't remember. She's on that show where she is a therapist for soldiers returning back from war.
Yes. The podcast Nick Murphy turned me on to a while back was kind of like a radio theater version of that.
Right. Yeah. And was that on Amazon as well?
I don't know.
If so.
Listen, you got to figure the ones that are going to have the money, Amazon will, Netflix will.
Mm-hmm.
This is set to premiere on Stars, apparently, according to this article. So. All right. Anyway, let's see what else we have. Kathy, I know this series, you'll be happy to hear. Maybe you have heard. Sex Life, isn't that that's the Big Wang show, right?
Yeah.
Wait, I already hit this the other day.
Yeah,
it's been renewed. I'm sorry. This is an old story.
Well, the Wang is so big, you have to say it twice.
You're right. We have to cover that two times.
Both parts of the Wang can hear the story.
So that is... Did you watch the whole series?
I did, and I said this 2 days ago when we talked about it, but they set it up perfect for a second
Oh, they had
season.
A dangling ending?
Yeah. Okay. Swinging back and forth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
It leaves in a helicopter.
all right, so anyhow. All right, and then one last thing. Will Smith celebrated his 53rd birthday on Saturday by renting out the entire Regal Cinemas in Calabasas. A source said that he had a very private party. He rented out the theater for 100 people, and they watched his latest film, King Richard, and had food and snacks. The outlet reports that the entire Smith family was there except for Jaden, who was away in Europe.
Look, everyone, snacks!
So he rented the theater, which is... That's a fun thing to do.
King Richard is the... Is that
What is that? Is it the actual King Richard?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nick will look that
Why
up
Why
right
am I
now.
Out of loop on this one?
I'll try to get you an answer here.
No, I don't think so, Steve, because there's a shopping cart on the poster. So
well, that's what King Richard was known for, his shopping.
Yeah, I don't think it's the Shakespearean version.
There you go. Look at how tennis superstars Venus and Serena Williams became who they are after coaching from their father, Richard Williams.
There you go. That's it.
So is it a theatrical? Oh, it is theatrical.
It's theatrical, yeah.
Okay, wow. Yeah. All right, nice. All right, new movies opening this weekend. We got three movies opening this weekend. We'll start with this one. Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Action fantasy film starring Tom Hardy, Woody Harrelson, and Michelle Williams. The plot is Venom springs into action when a notorious serial killer, Cletus Cassidy, transforms into the evil Carnage. It's an hour and 37 minutes long. It's rated PG-13. Released in theaters wide today, and Rotten Tomatoes score is at a 60%.
So that's actually a win when you consider the original Venom was 30%.
Okay. Oh. I don't care about Venom. It never really has gotten my attention, unfortunately, because I love superhero movies, but this one just never spoke to me.
The first one, okay. We'll see what this one's like. I think if they had have gone a little bit more Deadpool-ish, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting concept. Remember, Venom appeared in the third Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Also opening this weekend is Adam's Family 2. It is an animated comedy starring Oscar Isaac, Charlize Theron, Chloe Grace Moretz as well. In the Adam's Family Part 2, we find Morticia and Gomez distraught that their children are growing up skipping family dinners and totally consumed with scream time. Yeah. To reclaim their bond, they decide to cram Wednesday Pugsley, Uncle Fester, and the crew into their haunted camper and hit the road for one last miserable family vacation. Hour and 32 minutes long, rated PG, wide release in theaters and streaming today. There is no rating for this as of yet. Also opening this weekend, The Many Saints of Newark, crime drama, stars Michael Gandolfini, Ray Liotta, and John Bernthal. The plot is young Anthony Soprano is growing up in one of the most tumultuous eras in Newark's history, becoming a man just as rival gangsters begin to rise up and challenge the all-powerful DeMeo crime family's hold over the increasingly race-torn city. 2 hours long, it's rated R, wide release and streaming today. 73% of Rotten Tomatoes, nice healthy score.
So the plot is they're going to hold DeMeo.
Yeah. Old DeMeo.
Yeah.
And Nick gave it a thumbs up, right?
Yeah, I'm also really curious. If you go see it this weekend, email me. Let me know what you think, because I'm a huge Sopranos fan. It's different than Sopranos. Don't go in expecting a Sopranos episode. But I enjoyed it. It's just
different.
It's just different, yeah.
Shall we get to the clips?
Yay!
All right. We will start with the Addams Family 2. Here, director Conrad Vernon talks about how this movie deals with coming-of-age themes.
And, most teenagers, when they're trying to find themselves and, want to be an individual rather than part of a group, they separate themselves to do that. And, sometimes it comes off as cold and brooding, but I think that's where Wednesday feels most comfortable.
The Addams Family 2 is in theaters today. Next clip. Old Henry tells the tale of a father and son in the Wild West as they encounter a strange man on the run. In this clip, Tim Blake Nelson.
Yes, we know him.
Been here in our studio. Yeah. Very nice things to say about us. He discusses what drew him to the role of Henry.
Initially, it was what I think is the real heart of the movie, even though it's a thriller and a Western. It's at its heart is ultimately a very tender story between a father and a son, even as it becomes violent. There's a tenderness to it.
Yeah!
Old Henry premieres in theaters today, by the way. There you go. That's your entertainment report for today. We have a lot going on the program. We got a beautiful day starting here together, and it's going to get even more beautiful as we go on, because what a bright spot of sunshine if you win $500 from Money Clip. So that first opportunity in less than an hour at 8 o'clock. We're also going to have comedian Shane Torres on the show. We have Kathy's fall activities list.
Yeah.
2021 on this beautiful October 1st fall day. And we will get to that little over an hour from now, about 8:15, 8:20 is when we're looking to roll that out.
Awesome.
So, that and anything we have to give away as well is happening today, and many things to talk about. We'll take a quick break, come back in a moment. Make sure that you stay with us.
Want to see something funny? Or maybe really messed up? Well, watch The Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com. It's a sight to behold. Or something like that. From 93.3 WMMR.
Chuck said it's the funniest meme the other day.
It's so good.
It's this old photograph, and you have to... You won't get the punchline unless you see the photo, but it has to do with what instruments people play in a band. Casey will see if he can find that and maybe tweet it out on social. But Marissa?
Yeah, just while we're sharing fun rusted root facts, I found out recently that Liz owns Mr. Smalls, which is a concert venue in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of our Pittsburgh listeners know that. I've gone up there a few times with one of my boyfriend Matt's old skate buddies.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like the venue out there.
You guys are tight friends then, I guess.
With the root.
Yeah, right?
You guys are rooters.
She's so close.
I went to a show once, and she was there, and I met her husband. Does that count?
You a rooter, too?
Yeah. But I'm a rooter.
Cool that she owns Mr. Smalls.
Nice. Okay. Never heard of it, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Some people listening will.
All right. Excellent. Happy to hear. All right. So I would like to serve up some hot dishes for you, friends.
Oh.
It is time for the connoisseur.
It's time for the connoisseur. As I've said before you start your weekend eating, get all the best advice from the connoisseur.
Yes.
So do it.
And we will start with this. McDonald's is bringing back the McRib sandwich.
Hey!
The McRib is, I remember the commercials, the way the announcer would say it.
We've talked about
McDonald's
the
McRib.
McRib many times.
I like it.
Yes, there we go.
Oh my God.
Call me.
I do too. It's not something I would order all the time.
No.
As something different on the menu to get. I just dug the McRib.
Absolutely.
And they bring it back from time to time.
Right.
So, the legendary sandwich, which is filled with boneless pork coated in barbecue sauce and topped with slivered onions and a tart dill pickles, and on a hoagie style bun, will make its triumphant return to participating locations November 1st.
Right. Don't people hoard these? Remember that?
Yes.
That was the last time, I think, Case. Do you remember people were going all... It was not in every store, and so people started hoarding them.
Yes. Yeah, maybe. I mean, this the McRib is, for me, it goes into a classification of... tried it, liked it, don't ever need to try it, and won't ever try it again.
Right. Well, you can't try it again, but you could have it again.
We'll never have one again.
Yeah. So it's especially a milestone, though, because it celebrates its 40th anniversary.
Yep, so this is how long? So compared to the Shamrock Shake.
I'd say the McRib came out way before the Shamrock Shake, in my own personal memory, but I don't know when that initially debuted, Steve. The sandwich debuted... in 1981 in Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas. So it wasn't immediately a success at first. It was oversold by Chicken McNuggets, which came out 3 years earlier. Nick, what'd you find out about
1970 for the Shamrock Shake?
Wow.
Yeah.
It way predates the McRib. How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Steve, I'll give you $100 and a massage if you can tell me which McDonald's character first endorsed the Shamrock Shake.
Oh, I think I would. I have a guess.
Grimace?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, my God. Well, I owe you $100.
Yeah.
But it's the Irish version.
And a massage.
Uncle O'Grimacy.
Yeah. Uncle O'Grimacy.
I mean, Grimace was the shake character.
He is a milkshake, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And he's also a yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was always classified.
He also
as.
Runs Ponzi schemes. That was his thing.
It was also in the name of our bong in college.
Really?
Grimace? Yeah, because he was purple.
It was purple, yeah.
I love that. And had a bulbous bottom.
Yep.
Nice. All right. So the McRib had earned a cult following over the years thanks to its limited edition runs, and particularly it was shot into the culture zeitgeist in the summer of 1994 when it was brought back in honor of the theatrical release of the live action Flintstones film.
Right.
Proven to be the perfect prehistoric companion to the film. The McRib's popularity gave it a permanent spot on McDonald's menu through the 90s and early 2000s. Overseas, it made appearances in Germany, New Zealand, and France, and a McRib Junior sandwich was even introduced. McDonald's put the McRib on a McRib Farewell Tour in 2005, But much like Cher and Kiss, it repeated the tour every year for the next 3 years.
And they both smell the same.
By 2012...
Cher and a McRib.
The McRib was back in stores, but as always, only temporarily. And then McDonald's would wound up keeping it off of the menu for 8 years until bringing it back last December. And now it's McRib season all over again. And those that are using the McRib locator should be able to track its return to menus this November. So there's a McRib locator.
What about the cheesesteak? No, they'd have the cheesesteak. Remember that?
That was really temporary. That came and went real quick.
Did they ever bring it back?
No, they just did it the one time. And actually, it wasn't that bad.
It was not that bad.
But it goes into that classification of tried it, liked it,
then they're done.
Steve, how many McRibs can you buy with the $100 at Nicosia?
Maybe I'll just put that into my massage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll just buy $100 worth of McRibs.
Use some barbecue sauce instead of oil.
What does they make rib retail for? Do we know?
Don't know.
These days, man, they're you know, the sandwiches themselves are like $5-6.
All right. So about 20.
Yeah, $20, something like
that. $3.69.
Yeah, $3.69.
Oh, even more, about 30.
You can get a combo meal with fries and a drink for $6.
Okay. All right, well, there you go.
So welcome back, McRib.
McRib coming back. November is when you'll be able to find that. All right, what else you got here? How about some dessert? Following a 10-year hiatus.
10 years?
Oreo Cakesters are coming back.
10?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Nabisco announced the return of the product on Instagram yesterday. Yeah, Steve, from the name alone, I don't remember what it is. Maybe we can find a photo.
Is it like a whoopie pie?
Yeah.
Like a mini whoopie pie? Okay. Like a whoop?
Yeah, they're soft.
Okay.
They're not hard like a regular Oreo.
All right.
Like an adult film star.
Right.
Talk about a glow up and coming back in early 2022, they had posted. Oreo Cakesters taste like classic Oreos and feature a soft baked twist on the classic wafer cookie with its chocolate flavor.
These are so good.
snack cake with the sandwich creme filling. I'd be down with trying that.
Yeah.
Especially the vanilla ones. We're looking at the two different Nutter Butter. Nutter Butter Cakesters. God, I loved that cookie when I was a kid. Nutter Butters, I would eat all the time.
They had some at the blood drive this year.
Yes.
You know, the little treats you get after you donate blood. I had like 7 of them there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I miss those.
Okay, so here's the deal. You have a Freddy's near you. Nick, technically there's a Freddy's Steak Burgers near you.
There is?
Steve, yes. Well, because it's in Broomall and you're in Delco. So you're one exit away. They have ice cream sandwiches and they're Oreo sandwiches.
Yeah.
But it's not ice cream, Steve. I know you like custard. It's custard. They have Nutter Butter ice cream sandwiches as well. So not only is the cookie butter... peanut butter flavored, but there's a level of peanut butter between the cookie and the actual.
And it's a hard cookie on the outside?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will sing the Nutter Butter jingle for you.
Please do. Yes.
I remember it. I knew it. So I loved the cookie so well. Have another Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Thank you. Awesome.
That's
that was it.
Wow.
That's awesome. Woo!
Marissa, see if you can find that. Have another Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Oh, I did like Nutter Butters. I'm not always on board automatically with peanut-flavored cookies or candies, but when they do it right, yeah.
Casey, is this a picture of Freddy's Nutter Butter ice cream sandwich?
Wow. Yeah, on top of the Oreo one.
Yeah, that looks fan-freaking-tastic. Yeah,
and the crazy thing is, you guys are going to love this.
100 calories.
No, negative calories.
Negative calories. That's amazing that you actually burn calories while you eat it.
So you go there and you eat a double cheeseburger, and then you erase it with a Nutter Butter ice cream sandwich. It's crazy.
First 100 people get a defibrillator.
Right. My son does not like peanut butter-flavored candies and cookies and things like that. And at first, I thought I was raising him wrong, and then I realized that I can have access to his Halloween candy that he doesn't want.
Honestly, you end up winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Case, one of your kids doesn't like peanut butter, right?
I get everything that has peanuts and peanut butter in it. Everything. Reese's peanut butter cups.
Peanuts and butter.
All of them? Peanuts and peanut butter is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
And what'd you say?
All of the kids don't like
No, just okay. Casey. It's so
easy, right.
She's also gotten wise to the gig here. So she will trade first, and if she's unable to trade with the siblings, then I know.
You're the dad.
Take.
Yeah, you're a plutocrat. You're an autocrat.
I take anyway. You have it's an only child, so he has nobody to trade with.
You're
but if
true.
He didn't trade, you know, if he did.
I think I owe him $100 too.
So anyhow, they're returning with the cakesters. All right, Marissa found the Nutter Butter jingle.
Oh.
If you could, please. I want to see how close I am to remembering this properly. Here we go.
Have another Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
A little more lyrical, but it was right on lyric wise.
I had the yes, well, and I had the rhythm down.
I tried to get
her butter, peanut butter sandwich. I went a little slower.
Yeah,
sing along with it.
Have another Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Do you think you could harmonize with it?
No,
please.
I'm not going to try that.
All right.
I love you.
What's the
there's another one though. It says Nutter Butter Riddle Spot.
All right.
Here's the Nutter Butter Peanut Butter Sandwich Cookie Riddle. Oh. What has creamy peanut butter filling up its middle? And is peanut shaped and crunchy too?
It's awesome.
It's another Nutter Butter Peanut Butter Sandwich Cookie.
Oh, you knew.
Oh,
hey, you Nutter Butter jerk. Man. Have a Nutter Butter Peanut Butter Sandwich Cookie.
There you go.
You remember the last ad campaign? Blow a nutter.
Blow a nutter on your mother.
Blow a nutter on your mother and your father and your sister. Blow a nutter on your mother and your mother and your sister. Ed, we cannot go with this. We're talking Saturday morning cartoon time. This will stand out. It will cause a controversy.
Yes, yes. People will make to stand up and take notice.
Remove the whole blowing the nutter thing.
What about bust?
You can include that.
Okay.
Bust nutter butter on your mother and your sister.
Have another Nutter Butter Peanut Butter Sandwich Cookie.
We're both from Nabisco.
Oh, my.
What are you asking the kids to do with this?
Okay.
It's like, I remember years ago, do you remember the Devil Dog commercial where the kid's going through the Devil Dog factory and there was a large guy in a dog mascot costume?
No, I don't remember that.
And I remember it was one of the creepiest commercials I ever saw because the kid goes, how do you get the cream in the cake? And there's like an unpleasant pause.
Uh-huh.
And it
you don't
was
wanna
so
know.
Significant.
You don't want to know.
Trust me, you do not want to know.
Maybe
you should check out the Butter Nutter Factory.
All right. Let's find something else because we have more to get to in the connoisseur. Charcuterie boards have been popular for a while, of course, and now a group of New York fans have broken a Guinness World Record for assembling a 315-foot charcuterie board.
All right, so I always have to ask this question. Is it a continuous charcuterie board or a charcuterie board assembled from different pieces?
I would assume this one was continuous because how hard can that be, right? I mean, like sometimes there are things that need to be baked or
right.
need to be fried. And how do you do a giant version of that unless you have a giant oven or a giant fryer?
Right.
But a charcuterie board is assembled. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I'm assuming this is, Steve, that it's one continuous, but I can't confirm that.
All right, okay.
The group 315 Foodies assembled the board last Sunday in Little Falls. The board more than doubled the previous record, which is set at 150 feet by a Chicago firm in September of 2019. The meats and cheeses were split into servings after the record was broken and served to spectators that purchased tickets. We could beat this.
Well,
we could beat that easy. We could gather a group of connoisseurs in
yes.
Philadelphia, of foodies, and make a giant charcuterie board and easily beat 315.
There's
I know we can.
Enough cheese mongers and other people who can provide. So I tell you this,
we could
though.
Double that.
Would you want to go, Preston? Well, maybe it wouldn't carry as much merit right now because not that many people are familiar with it, but with the baked charcuterie board?
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
For 315 feet
no,
long?
No, but for a long one, you know?
Maybe.
I mean, that one you'd have to assemble.
Yeah, that, well, yeah, but baking, I think, has to be all in one
yeah.
piece.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Although
Does
there
it? Is bread, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Hell.
Hell.
We just had a company called Cheese John do a charcuterie board for us, and they use, like, your actual countertop, so they just lay, like,
yes.
paper down. Yeah. yeah, and it took up the entire, like, huge island at my sister-in-law's
Love it.
House. It was, like, it looked amazing.
I love doing that type of thing where you just use the countertop as the serving platter. And yeah, you put down paper or something to make sure that it's sanitary. I love that type of thing because you can throw all kinds of stuff out there and then.
Oh, like the island?
But yeah, and then things that are good for presentation, you can throw like, you know, big pieces of rosemary or grapes or, you know, just throw them out there and they look really cool. So I love that type
of thing. I love when our cat sits on the island and we think about what we could possibly do there, but we can't because the cat sits on the island.
Yeah. So it's a record that was recently broken, but I think that can be toppled and I think we could do that. But
we're going to kill it.
Wait for a right amount of time. All right. All right, how about this? I always figured this would probably be the case, but researchers have found... from Iceland, they found that people who watch a wintry video or, you know, TV show or something like that were more likely to fill in a world... Fill in a word puzzle with words related to high-calorie foods.
Of course.
And they say this suggests that people link high-calorie foods and survival to winter environments.
But that does make sense.
Yeah.
My wife said the other day, she says, you know how I know that it's getting consistently colder? She starts craving carbs. Like, she starts...
Okay.
You know, like, and all of the traditional...
Like, I want chili and things
hot
like
chocolate.
That.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah, or, you know, high denser foods.
Right, bread, pasta.
Yeah, or stew and stuff like that.
McRibs.
You know, McRibs, all that. That's my type of wintry foods, are these, things that you make in a pot that sit for a little while.
Yep.
It's a chicken in it.
Mm. So the scientists say this suggests people link high-calorie foods and survival with winter environments.
That makes sense.
It saw people develop a response to protect them against periods of food scarcity, even though we no longer need to do that in colder months.
It's ingrained in us.
It's an ancient instinct that our brains haven't developed a more appropriate response to as of yet. So we, as human beings... do that just because out of survival, even though we don't need to do that any longer, it's kind of what is in our genetics.
Do you keep a roadkill bucket in your car?
I don't.
Yeah, I do, just in case.
But Carter did tell me the other day, he said, did you know that in Pennsylvania it is perfectly legal to pick up and take roadkill and use it for food?
Sure. It's illegal?
It's legal.
It's legal.
Oh, it's legal.
In fact, it's encouraged.
Now, I don't know. I can't give you the specifics because if you see a deer that's been hit and it's a fresh kill on the side of the road or you hit a deer, can you just take it or do you need to register that with the state? And do you need a license?
Well, this is apocryphal, so I'm not 100% sure, but I had friends that I went to college with, Central PA people, and they loved to hunt. They were hunters, and occasionally they would come across a freshly killed deer carcass that they would gut and mount they would take as their own.
All right, here is an article that says any legal resident of Pennsylvania may pick up roadkill deer from the highways for the edible parts, which are covered by a permit or permit number issued by the Pennsylvania Game Commission. Non-residents cannot obtain a permit or permit number. So you need a permit.
I guess you need but if you have that permit in advance, you can just take it.
Like a hunting permit or just a roadkill permit?
Don't know.
Okay. Preston, how about the largest roadkill charcuterie?
Ooh. Mm.
That right there is groundhog. You want something?
You like that? A little game, but man, give you as good as it gets.
But it is bulk up season. And correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it Fat Bear Week?
It is Fat Bear Week, and we have a link on PrestonandSteve.com.
Oh, we do.
If you would like to vote, it started actually on Monday. Does it only last through this week, Nick?
It goes through. Wait, I have it here, Press. It goes through October 5th. And, there's a link, and you can learn all about the bears in Katmai National Park in Alaska. And you can click on the bracket. You can download the bracket from our website as well. So, it's it's fun.
I love Fat Bear. Was it a month or a week?
It's just a week.
Yeah.
By the way, gang, we have people who pick up roadkill who are calling in on the show.
There you go. Good.
I will go to Patty. Hello there, Patty.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Wonderful. So, you like to pick up dead carcasses from the road.
Well, I like to eat them.
Do tell.
No. Okay, so as long as it's hit correctly, that's a horrible thing to say, but if it's not mutilated or whatever, it's perfectly good. You can take it to a butcher and eat it. But the last time I did it was in Chester County, when I lived in Chester County and with an ex. And we did call the cops. He did have a license to hunt. I don't know if he had to show that or not, but basically the cops said, yeah, you want it, put it in the back of your truck and haul it away.
All right, I have questions. How do you know? Because if you don't field dress a dead deer, The blood's going to seep into the meat. It's going to go bad. How do you know how long ago it was killed and if it's fresh enough to butcher?
I have no idea. Again, that's
ask it.
So we took it to a butcher in Chester County, and it was, I guess the one we got was fresh enough because we ate it. There's nothing better than venison, man, if it's a good deer, no offense.
Let me ask you, have you done smaller animals?
Huh?
Have you done anything smaller, like squirrel?
No.
Okay, all right.
Just deer, but it's the best stew you'll ever have, better than beef stew. I kid you not.
Listen, I like the fact, it's so sad when you see them to the side of the road that someone would remove them is nice. I don't know if I would
get some use out of it, too.
Right? Yes,
you know,
it did not die in vain.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm okay. I'm curious, Patty. I may be off base, but I always thought that you needed to field dress something as quickly as you can
before the blood got into the. That's what I always heard too.
I'm not a hunter, but that's what I'd heard. Okay, thank you, Patty. We'll check into that. But I'm sure that the butcher would know when they get it whether or not you can use it or not.
Would it benefit you to keep huge rolls in the car just to eat
just
right
in
there?
Case? Yeah. Hang on a second. I have a police officer in New Jersey. It's Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Morning. How you doing, guys?
Good, Jeff.
Sorry, all right.
Oh, thanks, man. All right. What's the ruling in New Jersey if you hit a deer or some type of animal that you're interested in keeping for the meat?
So if you hit a deer, you have to call the local police, and they come out and they bring a tag through the Fish and Game of New Jersey. And basically we sign off on it and say, hey, you can take this deer. But yeah, you have to use it for meat only. It's not, it can't be processed for taxidermy wise. And if it's a buck, we got to cut the antlers off.
Jeff, do you know why you can't have a dead deer processed for taxidermy?
I don't know why. That would be through Fish and Game, but
yeah.
I guess it's just because, you know, it would just make people want to hit deers more, maybe.
Okay, and the antlers as well, because people like to keep those as a trophy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, hey, you just hit a billion deer.
Like a billion.
Can you imagine?
Thanks, Jeff.
You're collecting deer. You're collecting trophies just by ramming into them with your car or truck.
I mean, listen, you stand to damage your vehicle, but maybe you reinforce it.
Hey, hit it, mommy!
There's one. If it is, I'm going to take out the deer.
All right.
You're going to look beautiful on my living room wall. Adrian, I this out of you. I gave you a deer head. I just ripped it off a deer on the side of the road.
He brought that to Adrian.
Yeah.
Blood still dripping. He's ripped it.
Drained this and put it on over my fireplace.
Doesn't even taxidermy. It just hangs up like that as it rots slowly over the year.
What makes you think I even know how to do this? I want to kiss you.
I want to kiss you.
Could you clean that deer blood off your face?
All right, hang on.
Wait, so you have to have a permit in Pennsylvania to take roadkill?
What?
Yeah, we had said that earlier, but I don't know what the story is.
You said you have to have a Plymouth.
No, you have to have a permit. I'm going to go to Evan, who has done this before. Hi, Evan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, you bitches.
Good morning, you bitch. What's up, man?
Hey, so, yeah, I actually got home from work one day. My dad said that our deer got caught behind the propane tank of our neighbor, and a cop had to come put it down. I live in a really residential neighborhood, so this was way out there. I do hunt, so it was good, but I mean, we had to call the game commission, get a permit, and to me, it was better than letting it go to waste and sit
well,
there.
Well, sure, that makes sense.
I see that. And listen, you knew it was killed right then, but I was kind of going for people who have seen one that's been hit on the side of the road and how. But thank you for your call. I appreciate it, Evan.
Shoot it. It's trapped behind the propane tank.
As to whether or not, if the meat is spoiled.
Yeah.
By the way, Nick brought up this text that somebody wanted to point out, the gal who called in who was talking about venison, and she said, no offense, but venison tastes better than beef. She said, that lady literally said, no offense, that deer meat is better, as if cows were listening right now. And we take offense to that. All right, which caller, Casey?
Five.
Line five. All right. Hi, Kat, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You're on.
Oh, thank you, Kat. What's going on?
So, a few years ago, I took my husband. We live in Delaware, and I took my husband to a wolf sanctuary over the line in PA. And they told me that they get calls pretty frequently. They're out in Nowheresville, and they'll pick up fresh roadkill and feed the roadkill to the deer to the wolves, and anything they have left over, they dress it and they feed it to needy families.
That's pretty cool, Kat. Yeah. Will they let you drop off deceased family members?
What's that?
Deceased family members, perhaps, if you want to save on
give them to the wolves.
Uncle Lou loves wolves.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Kat.
That's actually a good idea. I just wonder how long a process it is before, okay, you see the dead deer.
Yeah.
Then you go through the process of contacting the gaming commission, right?
Yeah. How long does that carcass sit around
before
you can actually butcher it? That's what I'm curious about. So Mark has done this. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Wrong line. Let me go to Mark. Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Back in like the 70s, I was coming home from a softball game with a buddy of mine, and we're on this highway, and this guy in front of us was from Jersey, and he hit a deer. And I told my buddy, pull over. So we did. And another couple pulled over behind us. And the deer was still alive, but it was not going anywhere. So I said, anybody got a knife? And the guy runs back to his car. He catches like the tiniest penknife you ever saw. So I got this thing in the headlock, and I'm like jabbing it in the neck, and his wife starts screaming.
She oh, my God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And, so I said to the man, I said, do you want this deer? He's like, oh, no. I said, you care if we take it? He said, help yourself. So we threw it in the trunk, and I called my buddy. He fired up the barbecue grill. We got a quarter keg, and
dude, that is beyond. That is as primal as it gets. You're stabbing it to death with a penknife.
Yeah.
That's like me, myself, and Irene.
You don't have to do that anymore, Mark.
You know, keep
the Beverly Hills store.
Keep a compass in the car the next time you have to stab a deer to death.
Dear God, Mark, how did you feel while you were killing this?
You got to cut the jugular. I mean, I'm a farm boy, so I mean.
Oh, you know how to do it. Yeah.
It's so no problem for you.
You know what you do? Jesus. Keep a staple remover in your vehicle in case you gore out a deer's throat.
Started jamming its eye.
Yeah.
My brother beat one to death with a cumberbund one day.
With a what?
A cumberbund.
Just pounded it in the head. That's good eating.
Dude, that's horrible.
What did he use?
A cumberbund, like a.
What's a cumberbund?
Like a wench. It's kind of like a
it's a Girl Scout thing. Cookie.
No. It's like a what?
Like a winch.
Like a winch.
It wraps the cable around the for.
I got you.
Hey, anybody got anything handy I can beat this deer to death with?
Yeah,
I got some acetone gloves.
Thanks, Mark. Well, you hit him enough times.
My water bottle's half full and can beat it to death. It'll take about an hour and a half to kill it proper.
God, standing there beating a living creature like that is just
dear God. Staple remover.
Just why don't you just suffocate it? Just go get a plastic bag and suffocate it to death.
Well, they got antlers.
Well,
a dry cleaning bag.
Get a bag of what are you?
The male deer.
Well, you cut some holes for the antlers.
Not all deers have antlers.
It's true.
Even
in my scenario, it was a female deer.
Yes.
All right.
A doe, a deer, a female deer.
All right. Anyhow, there's several levels of things going on here. Anyway, this was the connoisseur.
Yeah.
I don't know what that last part was, but
the killers of the forest.
Yeah, we got to wrap it up. But we'll do it again next week. I promise you that. We have several things to get to. That's why I want to go ahead and take a break now, because we've got, of course, the money clip coming up.
Yes.
Your chance to win $500. We have the Bizarre File on the way. We're going to talk to our buddy Brian Propp, former Flyer, because there's a charity event on the way. And comedian Shane Torres will be joining us. We have a lot of things to get to. We'll be back. Oh, Kathy's full activities.
Yeah!
We'll be along shortly. Stay with us.
If you like what you hear, you can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Don't forget, in just a few minutes, Kathy's Paul Activity. Let's do the B5 first.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Sponsored by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. All right. Start with a terrible, gory, messed up story out of Ecuador. The president of Ecuador has declared a state of emergency in the prison system following a battle among gang members in a coastal lockup that killed at least 116 people, injured 80 as well, and what authorities say was the worst prison bloodbath ever in the country. I got this story early in the day yesterday, so I'll bet the numbers have gone up so far. At least five of the dead people were found to have been beheaded in this whole thing.
So I watched a documentary about the Ecuadorian prison system, and it's basically, Preston, it's Escape from New York.
Yeah.
There are the gates and everything inside.
And the prisoners run it. Yeah. So the president, Guillermo Lasso, had decreed a state of emergency, which will give the government powers that include deploying police and soldiers inside prisons. The order came a day after bloodshed at the Litoral Penitentiary that officials blamed on gangs linked to international drug cartels fighting for control of the facility. He said he could not guarantee that authorities had regained control of the lockup. This is as of yesterday. Images circulating on social media show dozens of bodies in the prison's pavilions 9 and 10 and scenes that look like battlefields. The fighting with firearms. They were fighting with firearms, knives, and bombs.
Yeah.
And bodies were being found.
That's in jail.
Bodies were being found in the prison's pipelines as well. Wow. Outside the prison morgue, the relatives of inmates wept, with some describing to reporters the cruelty to which their loved ones were killed, decapitated, and dismembered. Ecuador's president said that care points had been set up for relatives of the inmates and food and psychological support. He added that a $24 million program to address the country's prisons will be accelerated, starting with investments in infrastructure and technology in the Litoral prison. It's just, I've never seen anything that bad before in a prison system.
And they just got their Dunkachino machine.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. That's probably what the fight was
about.
Yeah, yeah. All right. In India, the Central Industrial Security Force arrested a man who was trying to smuggle nearly a kilogram of gold through Imphal Airport. The accused, identified as Mohammed Sharif, was arrested when he arrived at the airport. He was examined by the officials due to his suspicious movement.
Oh, boy.
During the examination, the officials found that Sharif was hiding over 900 grams of gold paste in his rectum.
Oh.
Nearly killed him.
Smuggling gold.
I got an ingot poking.
In paste form, hidden inside the rectum, has been a trick that gold smugglers have been using for a long time.
I don't like that trick.
In Kerala, where the most of the smuggled gold comes to India, such cases and arrests are frequent. Recently, a group who had flown from Saraja was arrested at the airport with nearly 3 kilograms of gold paste hidden inside their bodies.
That's a lot of gold paste.
According to officials, smuggling gold in paste form is a new way that helps smugglers dodge metal detectors, with numerous reports of this practice emerging since 2018. The paste can look very unlike gold in photographs, but it can be extracted from it later using a chemical process.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a high-risk move when smuggling, but one of the most effective ways to get the yellow metal transported illegally. It said that only an experienced smuggler can hide that amount of gold in their body and travel for hours without bleeding or getting caught.
Well, I have a rather large rectum.
In most cases, what gives them away is their movement. With that much amount of gold hidden in the rectum, the carrier often finds it difficult to walk properly, and the discomfort can even be visible on the face. So if you see someone with a constant scowl on their face.
Got some gold up your butt there, buddy?
They might have gold up their butt. I sent this to Nick yesterday. A Florida woman decided to transport her full-sized couch by using her convertible Mini Cooper.
You've got to see. Have you guys seen? Kathy?
No.
Yeah. The woman was caught on camera hauling her cargo in a different and dangerous way. The couch itself is bigger than the entire Mini Cooper.
It's straight out of the Flintstones.
The video was taken Monday on the Estero Community Bridge, and the woman can be seen holding the couch with a hand that should be on the steering wheel. Police said it was not properly strapped down. She is holding it with her right arm, and it's an obstruction of view. So, therefore, it is illegal. Kathy, look at the pictures here of her driving with this thing. It's crazy.
I love her, her thinking that I'm just going to hold this down with my hand.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Like if we hit a bump or, you know, gust of wind or whatever, I'll be able to
catch it.
In Scotland, people have been left horrified after a maintenance worker shared a picture of a mountain of used tea bags stacked up and left to fester in a dirty kitchen. And by this, I mean it's got to be 6 feet tall. It's just hundreds of tea bags.
Why were they not getting rid of them?
The photo shared on Twitter by the friend of a maintenance worker shows used rotting tea bags almost stacked up to the ceiling from the kitchen counter while also covering the floor. In the picture, a number of used milk cartons also appear to be left lying around the filthy kitchen with no sign of a trash bin. Look at this picture, guys.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It's Mount Teabag.
The kitchen counter appears to be stained by a dark-looking color. Dirty dishes also can be seen surrounding the mucky teabag pyramid. The user tweeted, "My mate's dad had to go into a flat to do some maintenance, and this was in the kitchen. I can't believe people live like this."
Jeez.
The picture garnered much attention, as you can imagine, from people aghast at the discovery from the worker. I love this story. A Turkish man who met up with some friends and later wandered off into a forest while drunk actually ended up joining a search and rescue effort to find himself.
Who are we looking for?
Yeah. He just knew they were looking for somebody. They didn't know.
Gosh, this guy looks a lot like me.
That they were looking for him. The man had been reported missing by family early on Tuesday.
And I don't think he's here.
After he was found, he found out that it was him that the searchers were looking for.
Was there a reward?
Police gave him a ride home. No, there was no reward.
That's like, is there an Ernie Pantuso here? That's you, Coach.
Speaking.
All right, and you know what? We'll wrap right there. I've got some other ones to get to. We will do that in the next installment of the Bizarre File because I always have way too many stories to cover in one segment. You have less than 5 minutes now to enter the word look for the MMR Money Clips, and we want you to do that through the texting of our contest short code number, which is 45911. Or you can be entered for the $10,000 grand prize by entering it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. All right, we have a friend we're going to welcome on board. He's here to tell us about an event.
Yeah.
That is coming up actually on Monday. And do we have any flyers, love?
Oh, you on flyers, love?
Yeah. I think we got it. We need a little audio intro for our next guest because he's been a longtime member of the Flyers family.
He's great.
And he's been on our show many, many times. So let's bring him on. There we go. That's what I like to hear. Please welcome Mr. Brian Propp to the show. Hey, Brian.
Hello.
How you doing today, Brian?
I'm wonderful. How you doing?
We're doing great, man. All right, so listen, you have a golf outing that's coming up that you wanted to mention. It's a charity golf outing that you'll be participating in. And give us all the info, my man.
Yeah, so I'm ambassador for Bancroft to brain injury people since my stroke 6 years ago. So I've been working with them for the last 2 years. And so Bancroft, they've been really good to me. Like, I do a lot of things with them, promoting but we have the big golf tournament on Monday at Galloway Country Club or National. And we're sold out, and it's nice to get back on the golf course after the things that happened the last couple of years. And so I'm really looking forward to, I'm going to sit on a par three and hit shots for the people on a short par three and meet all the other people and sell some of my Gaffa cigars.
So you're sort of a designated hitter on that hole. I've seen you at golf outings, Brian, and you're awesome, and you always lend yourself to charity. But I would have to say that golfing is in your blood. Would that be correct?
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I know that after my stroke, like, my right fingers and the right side don't work, but I'm probably about a 15 handicap right now. Used to be about a 4 or 5, but, I still love the golf I play hockey a couple days a week in Pensauken Skate Zone, and I do a lot of work with Wolf Commercial Real Estate, but Bancroft has been really good to me, We were looking forward to the sold-out event, and I'm going to have a foursome that I bought with a couple of people that had strokes, and then Fred Barment is going to be a former Eagle player is going to be there with me, too.
Cool.
Nice. And I tell you what, I was lucky enough to play Galloway for the first time a few weeks ago. It is one of the most beautiful golf courses in our area. Have you played there before?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I've been here 41 years, and, you know, I know a lot of the golf courses in New Jersey and Philadelphia and a couple others. But, yeah, it's a great golf course. It's really tough. I know Gary Dornhofer was a member there, but he shot his age most of the time. And he's a good golfer, but you know, and we also like for our Flyers alumni, we have a new thing next November 15th and 16th at the Hall of Fame. So Brad Marsh is running that, and so it might be a hockey game at the Wells Fargo Center for a bunch of former alumni.
Nice, that's cool. All right, so this outing on Monday, did you say it's sold out?
Yes, it's sold out, but maybe somebody could still sponsor if they want.
Okay.
But the reason that I like Bancroft is because like I started my own Gaffaw cigar brand a year ago, and every box that people buy from me, it goes to a percentage goes back to Bancroft, and it's been really good the last year. I just started with that.
Nice.
I have everything online at GaffawCigars.com.
Okay, so you can order and have them delivered to your home.
Yes.
Excellent.
All right, that makes sense.
GaffawCigars.com. And Marissa said there's also an online auction that's happening now that you can participate in for this particular outing. And we have it on our community page at PrestonandSteve.com. So that'll help raise some more funds for the event. And that's cool, man, because they're Bancroft is a great organization. Obviously, you are dialed right into that. So we'll do whatever we can to help out, Brian.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me, and have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you, Brian Proft. Long-time Flyer. Oh, my God. I forgot we had this.
Let's go Flyers!
Oh, my God.
Let's go Flyers! Let's go Flyers!
Bill's loving it.
You know, I just learned recently, yep. And I don't know where I've been, but that a high-quality cigar is referred to as a stick.
Yes, sticks.
Yeah.
Yep. Our friend Brian is a huge cigar aficionado, and he had texted me one time. He's like, "Man, I got some great new sticks. You want to come over?" And I thought he was talking. So in golf, yeah. Golf clubs are called sticks.
Oh, are they? All right.
And I'm like, okay, why am I coming over to see your new golf clubs? And he's like, no, dude, cigars. So sticks are used in a little bit of jargon here and there. But yes, you are correct about that.
Speaking of sticks, just quickly.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to get to that
in
a minute.
Okay.
We need to take a break.
All right.
We got to get to Kathy's fall activities. But yes, we have stick news.
There's stick news.
Coming up in a little
bit.
Top
that.
I have a few things I want to share. But we have to take a break because, yes, we have. Kathy's fall freaking activities with a dear God.
I'm just trying to hurt
a new Kyle McCarty jingle that you have to hear. I can't wait to debut this and find out about all the wonderful fall type things you can do.
Ooh, so
Kathy's
to do.
List, yay! We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You Help You line.
Two Dudes Painting Company is a certified B Corporation that is committed to empowering its employees, engaging its community, and helping homeowners and businesses bring new life to their painted surfaces. For residential and commercial painting, contact us at twodudes.com.
Next message.
Got Luke. This is Duke from Bloke's Barbershop and Gentleman's Emporium, located in Old City, Philadelphia. Come on down to our old school barbershop, the best in shaves, beard, hair care, and loads of interesting gifts. Yourself and the man in your life looking and feeling great. And Casey Boy, we have a new line of ballsy products coming in to make your balls more yummy. Donations to Phil Abundance go. Mentions of Preston and Steve at the checkout. BlokesBarbershop.com.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
Well, today is October 1st, and that is when it really feels like fall to me, is when we have finally stumbled into that month in particular, this month in particular, I should say.
And what we have is a confluence of all autumn environmental situations. Oh, it's cooler. It's sunny. It's beautiful.
Leaves are starting to turn.
We have everything. And it's the first day. It's actually the first day of October.
Yes.
Which is astonishing.
All this comes together
for
this.
All there.
Kathy works very, very hard on her list of activities for you to get out and enjoy and have a lot of fun. We're going to get the list, but also somebody works very, very hard, and each year it gets more and more involved. Our buddy Kyle McCarty, who is a genius. He's outstanding. He's a wonderful musician, performer, super nice guy. He's a good-looking fella, too.
He is a good-looking fella.
Just throw that in,
he is. Yeah. He's sinewy. I'm sure his genitals are huge.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to, yeah.
Let's just go with that for sure.
Yeah. But I love his fall activities jingle that he does. And this one, I personally think...
Really?
Is by far the best one yet.
Wow, that's big, a big compliment.
He writes it, produces it, and sings it, performs it,
everything.
Of course, himself. So before we get into Kathy's list, let us do the intro in proper form. Here we go.
You may know me, my name is Kathy. I provide you with activities. Fun things to do.
Poops Pumpkin Spice.
Yeah.
Kyle McCarty and his intro for fall activities. And without further ado, let's find out what you are going to be doing this autumn, Kathy.
Yes. So I always put new things on the list. That's just something that I love to do, is find some new stuff. And then there's some oldies but goodies. But there's been a change, sort of a theme that I've seen over the fall season, or more so into Halloween. So we'll get to it. But there are some farms on here that I traditionally have because I love, but some big changes at the farms.
Well, okay. Last year I used your Christmas list.
You did.
And I did the Polar Express. I did a couple other things as well, which are awesome. Honestly, if you're thinking, is this the kind of list anyone can use? Yes, yeah. There's something for everyone.
There is. So first on the list is a place called Hellerick's Farm, and it's in Doylestown. There's a couple of farms in Doylestown, and I feel like sometimes Hellerick's is like kind of brushed off to the side because there's other bigger farms. And Hellerick's has all the traditional fall features that you'll get when you go out during fall or Halloween. They have a hayride. They have corn mazes. They have an obstacle course, a lot of family-friendly activities. They have goat yoga and a personal goat experience, which I did. It was awesome. But what makes this farm so different, and when you drive up to it, you will immediately see it. It's a three-story aerial adventure park. So it's zip lines.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the obstacles that you have to travel across, different bridges. They have three different levels. Jason and I did it. We got to level two, and we both agreed that was enough for us.
Well, I'm looking at it. There's some pretty formidable stuff on the opening. The splash page is pretty... There's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, so the owner was actually yelling at me. I was up on the second level, and he's like, "You going to the third?" And I was like, "No, we're
no.
not." So it's no joke. I mean, it is a challenge to get to that third level. So I definitely want to go back and do it again, and maybe we'll get up to the third level. But it's hard. It was very hard to do.
So all the standard stuff, like, all the stuff that you'd want in a classic holiday or autumn Halloween farm experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And the goats are awesome. They were so cool. They have a whole, you can sign up for yoga, but you can just do a goat experience. So if you're not into the whole yoga thing, you can just go, you sign up for the goat experience. You go in their pen with them. There's a ton of them. If you sit on the ground, or the goats will come over and climb on top of you. They actually let us pick one of the goats up.
Hey, do you have to, like, if you want to do the ropes course and stuff like that, do you have to set aside a specific time and make appointments and things like that?
Yeah, so reservation vaccinations are required. And also check your child's height because there's no wiggle room on this because of the nature.
Safety.
Yeah. Yep. So, and I went with a friend of mine and her daughter was actually not able to go. She was just under the height requirement. So, you know, before you take the trip out there, if that's what you want to do, make sure that your kids are tall enough. And then stop in their market on your way out. You can grab your pumpkins, corn bundles, fresh cut flowers, all of that as well.
I love it.
So the second thing on the list, traditionally we would go to in the wintertime when it's snowing and people are skiing and snowboarding. Spring Mountain, you guys know, in Schwenksville.
What?
Yes. Right? You would normally go in the winter.
That's what you think.
They've actually transformed the mountain into Scream Mountain, and it's every weekend in October.
Scream Mountain.
They've been doing that for a little while,
Really? It's awesome. I like it.
Yeah, so guests travel to the top of the mountain on the chairlift in the dark. Now, the chairlift is not haunted. It's just dark, so it's scary enough.
Right.
And then you make your way through a walking haunted tour through the woods. At the end of the walk, there's then an option for you to get on a haunted hayride. And also, what I like that they're doing, and this is sort of the theme, and we'll get to it, but at 6 o'clock, so before it gets too dark, if you have kids that love Halloween, want to see this stuff, but maybe aren't quite ready for, like, the screaming zombies jumping out at you.
Like me.
Yes. Right. At 6 o'clock, you can just do the walking tour. You can do the hayride, and there's no actors that are going to jump out at you. You can see the scenes that they have set up.
Okay, so it's more modified. You do that.
I would do that. Kathy, can I ask a question about Spring Mountain? Can we reveal this or not? You told me about something that they're working on.
No, don't, because that's going to be in my winter activity.
Don't want to ruin it for you.
No. Yep.
So Bucks County Scenic Peddlers Village is the home to so many activities throughout the year. They've been on my list for a number of years for different reasons, fall, winter, all of it. But they've made it again this year, and it's because they're doing a murder mystery show. They're actually doing a few murder mystery shows. One is outdoors, and it's called Ghost Dusters, and that's the family-friendly walking tour that includes a number of stops around Peddlers Village. It lasts about 50 minutes. There's comedic twists. Actors share stories about Bucks County-based ghost stories is what they share. And then the people that are out, the participants, they can guess whether or not it's a real or a fake one.
So I passed by Peddler's Village tons of times, and I've never actually gone in and experienced it.
We used to go with the kids. Yeah. They had a place there called Giggleberry Farm. I don't know if it's still there or not, but yeah, we used to go in. Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff in Peddler's Village.
Yes.
Giggleberry?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So they have these ghost tours, this murder mystery tour, and it's outside. It's every Friday and Friday evenings, Sunday afternoons. And then in addition, there's a restaurant there called the Cock and Bowl, and they're hosting the Murder Mystery Cocktail Theater. It's the Golden Girls Murder Mystery.
Yes. Now, we've been meaning to go to that.
It's the actual Golden Girls from the series?
Yes. Huh. I mean, it's not the actresses. Okay, but Rue McClanahan's dead, so that wouldn't work. They're the characters.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
From what I understand.
I don't think they dropped the loot. Yeah.
And that's every Friday and Saturday through November 13th. So that's extended into November. So you have some time to do that, Preston.
Cool.
And then while you're at Peddler's Village, take a tour of the 100 Larger Than Life Scarecrows. I've had their Scarecrow Fest on my list before. Oktoberfest is October 16th and 17th. And then Apple Weekend is November 6th and 7th. So here's something that has really put a big change in place. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's Halloween nights at Eastern State Penitentiary. We've all done that, right? We've all done the scary tour through the jail cell. Well, what they've done this year is a new festival-style celebration. So they've got 15 attractions, 2 haunted houses. So the haunted houses are still there. However, they're giving you the option to skip them. There's going to be so much more to do now that if you're not really into the scary stuff, you can do a 3D fun house. There's going to be live performances, which one of our former calendar girls is a dancer there. She is taking part in one of the performances, Alexa. And then they have Halloween themed bars, which is absolutely awesome.
I love this thing. So I love the all in, the all full hard, throw it all at me. I love all that stuff. But to have a companion program for people who don't want the jumping, don't want the screaming, don't want that, but want to see the haunted houses and stuff like that.
That's me.
A cool thing. Yes.
Again, speaking to me.
That's my wife. My wife would prefer that. She hates getting scared. Hates it.
And this is good because if anybody is like Steve, the scary stuff is very scary.
Oh, good. I'm done with that.
But there are other things that you can do that are not so scary. And they have a couple of bars now that are set up. Some are just, you know, eerie and fun to go to. And then there is one that's going to be more scary.
Okay. Oh, Case, hang on.
Come on.
Oh, wait. Oh, I messed that up, man. Sorry.
activities. Love that.
This is what I did last night. I did an AR workshop. Okay, so it's one of
the rifle?
No, it's one of those places where you do like a custom wood project. So you're doing the staining, the painting, the hammering. You're doing everything. I worked with AR Workshop in Gilbertsville. So there's a number of locations. I worked with Kelly, and Jen last night, and five of us made projects. It was so much fun. So you can choose from, they have hundreds of Halloween and fall themed projects. You can personalize it. You can put your name on it. You can put memorable dates, quotes, graphics, whatever you want. They also have these awesome do-it-yourself at home kits. So if you don't want to,
really?
You know, I mean, listen, they're all over the place. So there's a location in Chestnut Hill, Fishtown, Malvern, Morristown. There's a couple of more. But this Gilbertsville location and the people that I worked with were absolutely awesome. So if you're in that area, it was a lot of fun.
So this stuff is fun. My wife is looking to do. Now, let me ask you, mm-hmm. are there still any options? I don't know if you have it coming up for scarecrow building.
Yes, I do have an option for scarecrow building.
How many items on the list this year, Kathy? Is it 10 as usual?
It's 10, but I've got two groups that have a few in it. We'll get to that. But this AR workshop, they also do a chunky knit pumpkin, which is what we did. We made all these pumpkins. You can also make a wreath or a blanket if that's something that you're interested in. But these wood projects that everybody loves doing, it's so much fun for a girls' night. Jace did one with me last night.
He
did a skeleton. Like, he loves it.
Especially for Halloween themed and autumn themed stuff. It can look a little bad and still look good.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Jace is like, why does my pumpkin look better than yours? I'm like, I don't know. I guess because you're better than me.
Why don't you shut up? Maybe I don't feed you tomorrow.
And all of these locations traditionally carry the same events or they have the same project. So if you find something you like, you can go to the location that's nearest to you. But Gilbertsville specifically is holding a dress-up Halloween class for kids. And then they're also doing a Halloween dessert charcuterie and wood tray event.
Dessert charcuterie.
Yeah, so they're teaming up with somebody who makes these charcuterie trays, and you'll basically make your wood project, and then they're going to teach you how to put a charcuterie tray together to make it look nice for, you know, party or whatever.
On a different note, quick idea for a TV show, Preston, charcuterie tank.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So that's AR Workshop. Volatilities. Silky's Farm.
Silky's Farm.
Yes. Mm. Can you guess what they do?
Silk.
So it's not goat yoga. It's alpaca yoga.
Will they crush you?
So an alpaca stands on you.
No, yeah, okay. So alpacas
are... Yeah, it's Clydesdale yoga.
Elephant yoga.
Alpacas,
come visit our morgue.
No, alpacas are much different than goats, and they're actually the most gentle livestock that you'll come
across.
They're
very docile, yeah.
So as their hooves very are going through your chest... Oh, because they just stand around and they provide sort of a contemplative nature, correct?
Yes,
they're right. Not getting on your back and violating you.
Correct, yes. So this Chester Springs Farm is offering alpaca yoga until the end of October. It's every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
This looks, look at the pictures. This looks really nice.
Yes, and they assure they will not jump, bite, or kick you. They will happily hum, actually. And
you're going to say happily hump.
And graze nearby while you're taking the yoga class. And then after your yoga class, you can take photos. You can pet the alpaca at Silky's Farm. And they say reservations are required. So make sure you sign up if you want to do alpaca yoga.
We're going to hold the downward dog position for just a little bit longer here.
What? Oh, bingo. Oh, bingo's my favorite. No, Kathy, I do like that. If you're not happy with animals crawling on you, them around you this way seems nice.
I think this is kind of more for me. Like, the goats were cool.
You don't want a filthy goat on your back.
But that's a thing, yeah.
By the way, Kathy's fall activities, sponsored by Acme Markets this year. So thank you very much for putting your power behind this.
And the full list on PrestonandSteve.com.
Yep. Fall activities.
Nightmare Before Tinsel kicks off the spooky season with ghoulishly themed cocktails and horrifying Instagram-friendly photo backdrops. You guys know this Halloween pop-up bar. It's at 116 South 12th Street. This is the third year that they're doing this. This year's theme is the Devil's Lair, including a trip down below with a flaming hot and bloody cave dripping with human remains.
So this is amazing. So let me ask you, they couldn't quite do it last year, right?
They did do this last year. They actually had a whole outdoor setup, which was awesome.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, so they did it last year, and they're doing it again this year. And you have until October 31st to enjoy the eerie ambience, and then it goes directly or right into Christmas. You guys know the bar, what is it? Tinsel.
I remember that.
Yes,
yep.
Tinsel.
That's the name of
nice.
It.
All right.
Tinsel.
Number seven. Fall on to number eight.
So we've got a COVID-safe section of Kathy's Fall Activities 2021. So if you're not comfortable in large crowds yet, glamping in your own backyard, personalized teepee sleepovers, and luxury picnics are the hottest new trends. So if you want to stay close to home, but you still want to participate in some fall activities, I've got awesome options for you.
Did they do this at your house? There's a picture of you.
No, so that is not my house. That is somebody else's backyard that they were setting up a tent in a picnic.
This is awesome.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Look at this.
It's incredible.
All right, so this very large canvas tent with these big tie downs, it looks like it's at least 8 feet tall, maybe more, and... Do you get this balloon accompaniment as well?
The picture that you're looking at is Bucks Glamping, and it's a specialized backyard glamping service. They come in, they set up the tent, they set up inside decor. So there's more pictures, Preston. Inside, there's like blow-up mattresses and little like bean bags with pillows and trays. And so you can actually go in and have a party inside.
You got to do that.
Dude.
You have to do this.
That is so damn cool.
Yeah.
That's glamping.
The tent is so big, it has a center pole.
Yes.
I mean, like,
for the strippers.
It's a big one. For if you want to have a stripper in there. No.
For glippers.
And they have these tables that are, you obviously will sit on the ground on pillows because it's a low table and have your meal there.
Yes. This is very cool, very traditional looking. It's very elegant.
It looks expensive.
So it's actually it's not that bad
for 2 alpacas
for what it is and what you're getting. I don't want.
Can you split a llama for 2 alpacas?
I can break a goat for a chicken.
I don't want to quote the exact price because I'm not exactly sure what she is charging, and it varies based on your location and where she has to drive.
Kathy, if you're getting people together. Everyone chip in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is big enough to do a number of people for an experience that looks really unique.
I'm sorry, how many goes for a chicken?
Two.
Okay.
Two goes for a chicken.
So the large tent fits about 6 to 10 people, and along with that comes a fall or Halloween-themed picnic table outside of the tent. And then clients can choose to add a decorative balloon display by Balloon Art Extraordinaire and Bucks County's own Balloons by Victoria.
In case I was wrong, it's 2 chickens for a goat.
This isn't communism.
Is that your balloon friend?
Balloons by Victoria. Yes, it is my balloon friend.
All right, because she did the for your birthday.
For my birthday.
Kathy's friend is made out of balloons.
Yes.
This is my balloon friend.
Baymax.
Right. And Bucks Glamping, this option includes overnight or day use. So you can set it up for like a party or a girls' day or you know, whatever for the kids. But you can also set it up and she'll put air mattresses in there and you can camp inside.
So is there a lighting right inside the tent?
She can do a lighting.
You guys need to go and check this out on PrestonSteve.com because there's a whole bunch of really, right from the beginning, Kathy, everyone's been a home run so far.
Yeah. You want to see these photos. That's amazing. Yeah. All right. Is that the end of that one? All right.
So similar option, it's called Dream Huts, and it's a slumber party tent rental company that offers fall and Halloween themed tents. You choose your theme, they come in, they set up everything. This one is inside your house. So if the kids want to have a sleepover, it's very light lifting for parents. I did it for Jace's birthday, and they come, they set everything up. All you have to do, I gave them popcorn, put movies on. You could let them watch Halloween movies.
They watch Hocus Pocus, I guess, right?
And then Dream Huts comes back, and they pick it up the next day. And you basically have no cleanup whatsoever.
Oh, that's great. Stay upstairs and drink.
Yeah,
but this is definitely for kids. It looks like it's smaller. Yes. So.
It's adorable.
Well, although she did do a 40th birthday party, and she set up like 10 tents for a group of girls.
How big was that house?
Well, so she can accommodate up to 12 tents. So based on your party size, she can do any one.
I love
to
this thing.
12.
Dude, that's really cool.
I love this tent glamping stuff.
I was not aware that. I mean, I know you can go out to. Campgrounds, you know, out in the West and other picturesque locations. I had no idea this is something you can order
here
for your home.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
All right, so we've got another luxury book.
Sorry, we need the stinger.
Okay. Yeah. So this is outside. This is Picture Book Picnics and Parties, and they're offering, it's similar, but it's a luxury pop-up picnic. And they'll go to a local park, they'll go to your backyard, wherever you'd like. You give them the location, they come to you, and you set up a
picnic.
When
did this stuff start? When did this become a thing?
COVID.
I would have done this. So out of COVID, there's actually... you know,
some pretty interesting things have come out of this.
This can stay after COVID.
Yeah, this can stay.
This is good.
I like this.
So
this is good. good.
Picture book picnics and parties has a seasonal fall 21 theme, the pumpkin patch or grand harvest. The grand harvest theme is a lavish autumn arrangement. They said it's best for like extravagant dates or luxury parties. And then the pumpkin patch theme is a quaint farmhouse style setup featuring Halloween themed decor. They add snack boxes that correspond with the theme that you pick. And then the whole picture book, they give you a Polaroid camera. You take pictures during your 2-hour picnic. They come back, they take the Polaroids, and they make a keepsake book for you.
So this is wonderful, Kathy. So again, in a case where you say, okay, what does it cost? What's the deal? If you get a couple of people together and everyone chips in for what you're going to get, for what we're seeing, this is a great experience. Now, as far can you pick a location?
Yeah, you pick your location.
Does it have to be a legal location?
Well, you say it could be in a park.
Yeah,
a park. As well.
Yeah, you pick your location, and same thing. Depending on the distance, you know, sometimes there's no fee, or sometimes there'll be a small fee if
can you pick
drive.
Two locations.
And they'll cater picnics for any age, and they can accommodate both small and large parties.
Wow!
We're looking at a picture here that looks very, very bucolic and. The pillows are down and the table's there, and there's all sorts of... It looks wonderful.
And that's the last item on the list,
no,
right?
No.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So that
Hang
was,
on
That
a
was
second.
My COVID safe section.
Ah.
And here, this one's sort
Don't
of...
Don't play us like that.
This one's under the COVID safe as well, and then I just have one more section that has a few little things in it. Okay, so still under the COVID safe is Foreman Design Company. She's the maker of the paint and peel kit. So this is for, I would say, younger kids. However, I took part in this, and I absolutely loved it. Like, I want to get another one. That's how much fun we had. So it's a great at-home activity to keep the kids busy. You can have a glass of wine with the other moms, or like I said, if you're like me, you want to paint along. It's a family-friendly activity. It's a paint and peel kit. So it comes with the stencil already on the canvas. It comes with paints, brushes, and directions on exactly what to do. So she's a locally based company. She has Halloween and fall-themed canvas kits. You order them on her website. They will come directly to your door, and then you've got an activity for the kids to do. You paint, and then you just you let it dry, and you peel the sticker off, and it's like, voila, you have this like adorable
I think it's awesome.
Decoration.
Yeah.
For like
I think
a wall
awesome.
Sticker, or you can put it on your wall, the stickers?
No, so you keep the canvas. The sticker is, you peel that off.
Oh, it's just basically, yeah.
Okay,
it's basically
gotcha.
A work of art.
I like
yeah.
that.
And,
nice.
And they are actually having a few events, so if you do want to go out to a paint party, they're going to be at Ambler Oktoberfest on this Saturday, October 2nd. There's going to be 90 vendors, 10 food trucks along Butler Avenue in Ambler. Pre-registration for that paint party is encouraged. And then the Beautiful Art Paint Party at Love...
Beautiful, that's like what a ghost would say.
Yes. At Love City Brewing is Sunday, October 17th from 1 to 3. Parents can enjoy craft beer, the kids can paint, and then they'll also be decorating cookies with Deanna's Cookie Couture. That event is open, they said, to children and adults of all ages.
So, you know, you'd say, okay, look at all these businesses and small companies that are doing this stuff. You say, oh, this is going to be sort of shot. Everything you put up is top-notch, looks great, and, you know, you're also supporting local businesses and stuff like that. So it's a win-win. This, to me, is exactly the kind of spice that you'd be looking for around this time. I mean, these are great selections, Kathy.
And then I have one more section that includes three things. And this section is what's new at my favorite farms. And this is what I was alluding to earlier, things that are changing. So Shady Brook Farm, you guys know, has forever been on my fall activities list.
Love it.
It's a great farm. It's got a bar in the middle of it, so that's the main attraction for me. But you can do apple, pumpkin, sunflower picking, wagon rides, a corn maze. They have apple shooting, bonfires with s'mores, and then they have live music every weekend. But Shady Brook Farm has put in place a big change this year. They're eliminating Horror Fest from their lineup of Fall Fest events as their Halloween attractions are pivoted to a more family-friendly vibe. So they said they looked at their clientele and what they were attracting, and they said
And they were horrible enough.
No, they said we're attracting families, and we're putting this huge scare in, so they've actually taken the scare out of it. So instead of the Hayride of Horror this year, they're introducing the Eerie Illuminations Hayride, which will be included in your Fall Fest admission. You'll take a pleasant wagon ride around the farm, viewing all of the Halloween light displays that are synchronized to music.
So it's great. So to be honest, they always sort of went family friendly. Even their stuff that was supposed to be scary was still very, very metered. But I love this new angle on it. Again, so you can go absorb all that environmental stuff and see the lights and have fun and get his Halloween spirit, but not have your kids crapping themselves.
Right. So, and the two haunted houses, the 3D Alien Encounter and the Barn of Horror, are staying there. They will be the same as last year, but they'll only have animatronics inside. No okay. creepy creatures or zombies jumping out at you with chainsaws to scare you. So you can walk through it still. It will be available. And in my opinion, this is one of the best farms to visit during the fall and Halloween season.
Okay.
Another one that I love to go to, and I go every year, is Mary Mead Farm. And they are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year of opening up their store. Wow. So to honor the anniversary, there'll be some special nods throughout the farm, including an ice cream cone-shaped corn maze. And this, I loved this story. So they have a kid's book that's for sale in their store, and it's called Mary the Great Pumpkin. So every year there's a kickoff event to the fall season. It's called the Lighting of the Great Pumpkin. I've been a number of times. A lot of people in this area, I'm sure, have. But the story that's told year after year at that event was told by the owner's wife's grandmother, and they made it into a book. And so the book is now available at the farm.
So they're carrying on the tradition of that story.
And she has since passed away.
I love it.
But they put it into a book.
I mean, I don't love the fact she passed away. I love the fact they made this book.
Yeah, they made
I thought
the book.
That was particularly brutal when you said that.
Right,
I'm so
that,
glad.
She passed away.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, so yes.
I mean the book.
So you can get the book there. And
I'm
then
a big supporter of death.
And then Mary Mead has a few new things at their farm. They've got an 18-passenger train that enhances the trip on the farm with lights and music. As always, the fun wagon ride, hay ride, apple slingshot, and other activities will be part of Fall Harvest Days, which take place on Saturdays and Sundays in October. And keep this in mind, because I feel like a lot of people forget this. So the Harvest Days are on the weekends when everything is open. They are obviously still open during the week, but some of those activities are not open during
the week. All right, okay. Kind of danced around it a little bit, but Mary Mead's ice cream, for my money, is the best in the area.
So you guys turned me on to it, and you just turned me on in general.
I do.
And so my wife Claire and I went out last year. It's awesome.
I love
it there. And the ice cream is awesome.
Yeah, I'm a Freddie Hill fan.
All right.
Well, so listen.
Man, I mean,
there's a lot of good ideas.
Says the lover of death.
Yeah, that's me. All right, Grim Reaper.
Yeah, I absolutely love their ice cream. I get every time I go there, I get a gallon. You can buy it. They have
a gallon.
Little, oh yeah, you can buy it
for the ride home.
You can buy it in gallons. You can go. They have cones. You can just buy some ice cream. But yeah, you can get it in pints. You can get it in gallons. And actually, when I talked to the owner, he had to turn off the ice cream machine. He goes, "Oh, hold on, I'm making peanut butter chocolate ice cream."
Wow.
He had to turn it off so I could hear him.
Do they have gallon cones?
You know what? In all fairness, I have not had the ice cream at Mary Mead, so I need to go there. It's not far from me. I need to go there.
You have to. All of the ice cream is made on site at their farm.
Freddie Hill's great. They're all great.
Yep. All right.
And this is the last thing that's on my list. So Snipes Farm in Morrisville is offering a haunted Halloween drive-in movie experience.
Wow.
Starting October 7th, the movie showings will take place on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights with gates opening at 6 p.m. and then the movie begins at sundown. The movies include Halloween, Beetlejuice, Hocus Pocus, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween Town, and The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, wow.
So it changes each week. Yeah, the haunted drive-in is selling quick. I actually was checking it throughout the week as I was preparing this list.
It's a great idea.
So if you're interested, don't wait. Purchase a spot for your car.
Steve, this is right up your alley. This is badass.
This is all awesome. And I see at the bottom they have the Japanese torture porn movie audition. No, I'm kidding.
Jesus. I thought you were serious. I didn't.
Yes, I'm sure this educational farm will love that comment.
No, they've made some really good selections. There are a couple that are a little bit more brutal and ones that are really wonderful and great for the family. And there you go. I love this.
Well, and Steve, they'll have horrifying characters that'll pay a visit to your car, too.
Oh, like Harvey Weinstein.
No.
Hey, kids. Yeah. No, this is, it's awesome. This is great.
Moviegoers are encouraged to bring chairs, pillows, blankets, and snacks. And then also, Steve, this is the very end, but so also at the farm, families can volunteer to create the land of scarecrows.
Okay.
So this is, you don't actually get to take these home. There are still the places that I've used in the past where you can take them home, but you can actually go out there. You can volunteer at the farm. It's an educational farm. So you'll help stuff and sew the scarecrows, and then they'll be put on display at the farm.
They'll display them there?
Yep.
Will your name be on it?
And the, you know what? I don't know. Okay. That's a good question, maybe. But that takes place on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. And all of the information listed on PrestonandSteve.com. If you missed any part of what we talked about or you want more information, all of it will be there. There's tons of photos linked to everything, and you can go out and do fall activities.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Kathy's List of 2021. I loved every single thing about
every one of them. Please, you know what? With all the crap you've been through, take advantage. It's October.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting. My wife said to me the other day, I really want to absorb and enjoy this autumn. And
we
just
deserve it.
Deserve it. Yeah. So here is a list. It's all laid out for you. Take advantage.
I loved everything about it. I loved all the activities. I love the fact that Acme is our sponsor. And
Acme!
Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. That Marissa took all the time to put together this list on PrestonandSteve.com. And it is extensive with full descriptions and links to absolutely everything that you could possibly need from that. And I love the new jingle, too. Yeah. I love everything about this list.
And I love fantastic. You guys.
And I love you.
Do we have time to hear it again?
We have time to hear it again.
You may know me. My name is Kathy. I pray.
Best,
can
man.
He sing or what, man?
Oh, he can. Oh,
guys,
sing.
Major pipe.
Kyle McCarty and those huge genitals.
And those huge genitals where it kind of works as a subwoofer.
Kyle McCarty, by the way, you can find him on Instagram at the Kyle Mack, and Mack is spelled M-A-A-C-K. And you know, we'll have to post that so people can
we will. Like and him. You know what? I'm going to offer up this. You should hire him to sing jingles for you.
I was thinking that, too. Yeah, I don't know if he does that for people, but you can contact him through his social media. But if you have a special event coming up or something, maybe he can whip this up for you for a fee.
Or whip out his huge genitals.
Maybe
you
can
want.
Do that, too. I'm not sure, but you can check with him on that. But he's an amazing talent. He should be working here in MMR. He used to, but we need to get him back in here. All right. With that and Kathy's list and all that stuff available for you to access, we are going to take a break and come back in a second. Comedian Shane Torres is going to be joining us.
Yeah.
And we still have a chance for you to win $500 with MMR's Money Clips. We'll be back in a moment.
It's MMR's Money Clips.
I just won $500.
How about that?
Your shot at stuffing $500 in your Money Clip.
You are now $500 richer, John.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Up to 7 times a day.
Why are you doing so well?
I just won $500.
That's what we like to hear.
We'll play an audio clip from one of your favorite MMR DJs and then give you a keyword. Text it to 45911.
Did you just win $500?
Yes, I did.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Or if you enter it at WMMR.com or our app, you'll also get entered for the grand prize, $10,000.
I am so excited.
That's awesome.
I just won $500.
Yeah, you did with MMR's Money Clips.
Sponsored by Horizon Services, Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Visit HorizonServices.com.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, man. $500 just for listening to MMR.
All right, you guys rock.
Complete rules at WMMR.com.
MMR rocks.
If you're looking for something to do tonight, tomorrow night, you are in luck because, ladies and gentlemen, in Philadelphia, or as we speak, Shane Torres.
Hey!
Yo. Hey, Shane. Gang? How you doing, man?
I'm all right. It's good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. We're doing really, really well. So, listen, I know you're excited. We're going to talk about your show and all that other stuff, but, dude, tonight's final episode of Ted Lasso, season 2, and I know you're a fan of that show.
I watched it last night in bed.
Oh, did you?
All right.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's two more left.
What?
Yeah.
I thought this was the last one.
Somebody told me this yesterday.
All right. I'm down with that.
Oh, they get me through the next week, I guess.
Yeah. Right. So we try to tell people about Ted Lasso and try to spread the word. And I think a lot of people still say, it's a soccer show. And I'm like, no, it is about life. It's about everything.
It's about sweetness and being good to one another.
And you've addressed this many times in your material and stuff. You're a proponent of civility and kindness, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Which I don't know if and I'm sorry. I'm just
you're just waking up.
Okay. We can hardly tell,
dude. You're a comedian. You're up all night. Man.
We get it. Yeah. That's. But I mean, so let me go back here. I'll pull something out of your past that shows that you stick up for the underdog. It's when explain the whole Guy Fieri thing from years ago for people who may not be familiar with you.
Sure. Yeah. So I would go to like shows, and somebody would always. There'd always be bad jokes being made. Like, it's like Guy Fieri doing this. And it was always, I was kind of just, what did this person ever do to someone? And then I just kind of read about it. Like, I did work, which I guess is a novel concept for comedians these days. But, and then it turns out he's this really sweet person. So I wrote the bit. And then it took off like wildfire when I did it on Conan.
Yeah, because he got into a one sided tiff with Anthony Bourdain, and there was some sort of thing back and forth, and so they diminished him the way they used to do for who was the original one who Emeril Lagasse caught the same bit of crap.
Did he?
Yeah, because they get popular. They get really popular.
Yeah, looked at it as a novelty.
As a novelty.
Like that,
So
people are just bitter,
right?
And jackasses about it, more or less.
So you stepped in for a guy, and you yourself, you have your own food show, and you.
That lasted three episodes.
Yeah. I actually saw it's up on Paramount, right? Paramount Plus, is it not?
Is that where it is?
Yeah, because I saw it.
Oh, it's three more episodes than most anybody else has ever had. So that's pretty cool.
That's a nice way to put it. Three more episodes than most anyone else.
Yeah,
but you stood up for
your shot, kid.
You stood up for Guy Fieri, and I have to ask you: did he ever find out about your defense of him?
Yeah, he called me, and it was really weird. he was super nice, but he called. It's very unexpected. I wasn't told I was getting a call from him. You know, otherwise I would have prepared myself. But he called me, and he was like, "I didn't know the number," and I picked it up, and I was just like, "That's another goddamn bill collector." And I picked it up, and I was like, "Hello." Just very shit bad.
All right.
And he goes, "Is Shane there?" He didn't say his name, which is always a sign of a bill collector.
Yeah.
You know, like they ask, they always go, "Is so-and-so there?" And you ask who's calling. And he goes, "It's Guy." And I was like, "I know it's a guy." Who is it? And he goes, "It's Guy Fieri." And then I just started laughing. And then he was like, "Keep doing what you're doing and keep kicking ass. And we got a lot to talk about." And he's like, "Call me after your plane lands." And I said, "Okay." And I called him and I never heard from him again. But it was pretty nice.
Yeah.
At least he reached out.
Hey,
he's a busy guy. Yeah. He's a busy guy. It was nice to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. I just said what another person did that was nice.
But, you need to acknowledge that stuff. And I want to acknowledge something else. Shane was at our Cardboard Classic in 2020.
Dude, were you?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I was there with Bert. Yeah. I thought I was going to die.
We all did.
Did you actually help construct the sled that you guys rode down on?
I'm more of a spirited person.
Yeah, you're a cheerleader.
I was... No, Andrew and Ron, mostly Andrew, I think, put it together, maybe Dave, but I just sat down in the box and then everybody else stood up and I was like, I'm going to die for Christ's sake. This is horrible.
I think
I didn't know what it was either. I didn't know what the gig was.
Dude, and yeah. Shane, that particular day, I think that I think that Bert Kreischer was the last non-family member I hugged for like over a year because, dude, like the COVID, the explosion happened like the next day.
Right after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did the shows on that. My last show indoors before the pandemic hit was at the Beacon Theater in New York with Bert. And then everything shut down. I flew out to go tape a Netflix show. And then we were starting production. And I was like, this is it, man. You're going to be a star.
No.
And then Netflix called and they're like, hey, can't do the show.
Right. You know, but the thing is with Bert got his special was done and ready to air right at the beginning of the pandemic. I'm like, talk about when people are looking for new content. And it was like, you know, for him, it was just fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it was massive. I mean, he was already on his way, like, to shoot through the moon, you know? Yeah. But, like, I'll tell you this. Like, my lease ended at the same time in Brooklyn that the show was going to begin production. So I just put everything in storage because they were going to put me in a hotel for, like, 2 months.
Right.
Oh, and then they were like, they called me, like, can't do the show. And I was like, well, how long can I stay in this hotel?
Right. How long did they give you?
Noon.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, Shane Torres is going to be at Punchline. I didn't mention Punchline. Two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow as well, which you can go to punchlinephilly.com. Well, so you had a nice break after that. What did you fill your time with? Were you working on new material? Obviously, you're out on the road now.
I got COVID.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah, I was like really off to a hot start in the pandemic. And then what did I?
Is it all a blur?
I started working out a lot and then I could go back outdoors during the summer and I just undid everything. I was looking good. I started I got into I drank Aperol spritzes all summer. It's so weird. I got loaded. And
What spritzes?
Aperol
spritz. It's like a liqueur. It's like something like your trashy grandmother drinks.
You don't impress me as that kind of guy. It would be having that. But that's that.
I know. I didn't either. But I was into. I wanted to discover something new about myself after this whole pandemic thing. And I guess it turns out that I like fruity drinks.
And so let me ask you, what were there other culprits? Because a lot of we were talking at the beginning, and I know that you did some very funny stuff, like especially about bagels and things in your act. What is your weakness besides the spritzers or whatever?
The Aperol spritzers.
what can always bring down a diet for you if you're looking to get in shape? What is the food that you cannot resist?
Oh, shit. Yeah. God, it's so hard not to swear on the radio. Any, like, if you have if it can be put into a bowl, it's over. It doesn't matter. Like, if I can pick it out one by one, because then I'm just like, it's just one, you know, like, and I'm just such a little piglet.
Yeah.
Oh, finger food in a bowl. Okay, I gotcha.
If there's a TV on, I just am mindless, and I'm just like, and before the end of it, they're like, I just found out, like, I look at the end of a bag and I'll be like, you've had 3,000 calories of, you know, crackle candy bars or whatever. Like the little fat kid candy bars.
Right. Yeah. But you just had them. Yeah. Little pieces.
Like, that's just.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's loving.
Dear God. Well, we all have our weaknesses for sure. But listen, what we want to do is have a good time now. And then now that you're back in Philly, we want to send people to see at Punchline. So like I said, there's two shows each night. There's a 7:30 and 9:45 tonight and tomorrow as well. So tickets are available at punchlinephilly.com if you want to go see Shane. So Shane, hang in there, brother. Stay well. And we'll catch up with you again. All right.
Thanks for making time for me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much.
Man. Shane Torres.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll be at Punchline. And we just saw this. Nick pulled up a recipe to the classic Aperol Spritz. I've never had one of those.
None.
It looks pretty damn tasty, though.
If
looks
like
a summery drink.
That liqueur. I think they are the worst things I've ever tasted.
What can you equate it to?
It's really sweet, right?
Not like the one that dog? I had. Okay. No, I don't even, like, I want to almost say, like, cinnamon, but not cinnamon. Mm. Like, okay. I'm not sure. I think Marissa drinks them.
Okay. You know what I liked? The mocktails that you
yeah.
Those are really good.
Mingle mocktails. They were good. I like those, too. All right, listen. Oh, Marissa, you want to mention real quick?
No. A while ago, you guys asked what we were missing the most, and I said the Aperol Spritz at Police Sea Social Club because they put basil and an aromatic spritz on it.
What's the taste, you would say?
It's sweet. It's like not a grenadine, but it is red, so it makes you kind of think of a grenadine, but it's not that sweet.
All right. Well, listen, I have something I want to share with you guys.
All right, we got to do this.
I have. I'm going to share a story from something that happened yesterday, and then I'm going to send an email and show you guys something. And I'll sing a song. We'll hold hands and we'll do this. No. So yesterday I went to play a round of golf with my buddy Jim Lowe, and it was just the two of us. So when you go to a public golf course, you buy a twosome and two more people can buy in.
Right.
And because they like to send people out in groups of four.
Right.
And so sometimes you don't know who you're going to end up meeting. So it's like a luck of the draw. Hopefully we meet a couple of good people that we get to hang out with for the day. And most of the times it is. It's fun. You have a good time. Go play golf. It's a beautiful day yesterday.
You're kind of like-minded people. Golf is sort of the bond, right?
Yeah. So we went to Turtle Creek Golf Club in Limerick. It was a place I haven't played in years because of my shoulder injury. I'm now back playing golf. And
thanks,
it's wonderful. And I've been waiting. Trinity Rehab for helping me get all healed up and everything. And I'm back playing golf, and I haven't played Turtle in a couple of years. And I was looking forward to it because it's just, I like the golf course.
Yeah.
It's a nice place to play, and they take really good care of it. So we're on the putting green, just kind of getting warmed up, and Jim and I are talking, and the starter comes over and says, all right, he says our names, and he goes, all right, I'm going to group you up with these two guys. I go over and I say, how you doing? I'm Preston. Nice to meet you. And Dan and Anthony were the two guys that we met. And as I go over to meet Dan, he goes, listen, I got to tell you something. He goes, I have a shocker tattoo on my ass with your name on it.
Well, like no effing way, dude.
And I think he was one of the first Preston and Steve tattoo recipients.
Because that was right. The shocker was big on the show at that time, too.
It was one of our big things.
Yeah.
And he and Anthony were the nicest guys. We had the best freaking day playing golf,
that's
man.
Awesome.
But the way he leans, he goes, I just have to tell you, I have a shocker tattoo with your name on it on my ass. And I was losing.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay.
When we tapped in on 18, and I have pictures, and I'm going to post them.
Okay.
Later on, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's up high enough where you're not seeing, like, the crack of his ass or anything like that. But it's big, too. It's, like, his entire right butt cheek.
Wow, man.
It's hilarious.
It's that big?
Yeah, it's a big one.
Okay.
And he was so cool. We had a great time, and we were just cracking up. And he's friends with Lauren Harris.
Oh.
He knows my buddy Ellis. He knows Angela Perfetto.
No kidding.
Like, yeah, and, like, he stays in touch with Lauren. We were talking about, her and her real estate and what she's been up to and her husband and everything. But it was just, I'm like, of all the people.
Right?
Yeah.
You got it. You nailed it.
That we got paired up. And
that's
it was so
cool.
Damn funny.
Does he remember who the artist was? Was it RC?
Yeah, he's like, it was RC, right?
Wow.
Like, yeah. I'm like, that's the dude. We started doing tattoos.
I got to see his face to see if I remember him or not.
You might remember. You're great with remembering people. So
sometimes.
I had a great time playing golf.
That's hilarious.
It was so much fun. And to stumble into those guys was just a blast. Which, by the way, I'm going to do a shameless plug here. I'm back playing golf now, and if you're a superintendent or a pro, and you wouldn't mind a DJ coming and playing on your golf course, dude, I'm ready to play. I finally, I spent all summer working on my game, and I finally had a decent round. I shot an 83 yesterday. That was with an 8 on 18. I'm back. I'm ready to play golf.
Well, and I also, in deference to your situation, as you went a long time, listen, we're very privileged in a lot of ways with the stuff that gets offered, but you people were so kind in offering you things that you had to turn down because you're just not physically capable of doing it.
Yep, and I appreciate that. Yeah. And yes, I know I'm using my privilege of the microphone, but God, I love playing golf.
I got two words for you. Pine Valley. It's overdue. You were close more than once. And it's time. It has to happen at some point.
I know someone who's a member, and maybe he'll invite me out to play. But I don't ask. I don't say, hey, you're a member? Why don't you let me come out and play?
I'll ask on your behalf.
Remember that article you sent me that said why you will never... Was it you that sent it to? Why you will never play Pine Valley?
How exclusive it is.
It's the greatest golf course in the world. And it's right over there.
Wasn't that a little Seymour right song?
What's that?
I ain't going to play fun.
Ain't going to play Pine Valley no more. No, Sun City.
I'm sorry, that was it.
All right, so that was cool, and Dan and Anthony had a great time playing golf with you guys.
Awesome.
We can play again sometime. You know, I should have gotten their info because I'm always looking for fun people to play golf with. So Dan and Ant, reach out to me here, Preston at WMMR.com. And then this other story, this is another little privilege thing for me, but it was so cool. This guy named Phil reached out to me. A couple of months ago. I don't need a drum roll.
You don't need a drum roll?
How about an angelic choir?
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought a drum roll was appropriate.
But no, I'm not selling these or anything. This is a gift.
Okay.
So this guy, Phil, got in touch with me. And damn it, I need to find out his last name, and I'll try and do that. He wrote me an email. It says, hey, my name is Phil. I work at a drumstick company from Canada. And I'm a big fan of the Preston and Steve Show. I've been following you for well over 10 years.
It's amazing.
And loving every podcast. He said, I learned about your show from a friend online. And from that point forward, I've tried not to miss podcasting the show.
Holy hell.
Excuse me. He said, I used to rock my kids to sleep listening to Preston and Steve. They're now 8 and 11 years old. And I was listening to your show. He says it was July 30th. And during the music news segment, you mentioned having a signature drumstick and how it would be cool. He said, and this is the initial email I got. He says, I would love to offer you some custom printed Los Cabos drumsticks. You can have anything you want on the sticks, like Kenny Knight or The Image. But I think you just Preston Elliott would be your favorite. Or Preston Elliott in your favorite font with maybe your signature would be best. He said, I know we're not Vader, Promark, or Vic Firth, but we are a global stick company based out of New Brunswick, Canada. And he said, actually, Adam Paquette of the Glorious Sons is a proud endorser of our company. And they seem to frequently play Philly. And they do. And I was quite familiar with Los Cabos sticks. So the fact that he reached out to me, I thought was really, really cool. And so we went back and forth. He needed my signature.
Yes.
So I sent it to him. And yeah, Casey, now I guess you can hit the drum roll if you want. So I have it today. I got my box full of signature Preston Elliott Los Cabos drumsticks.
Yeah.
I was pretty stoked about it.
They look cool, man.
Yeah. And I had asked to get the red hickory, and he ended up making several different versions, which I haven't gone through the whole box to see, but they're different colors and different types of wood and stuff like this. But I just requested that they be size 5A, which is what I use. And it says 5A red hickory Los Cabos, made in Canada. And then it's got my signature.
Looks
and
nice.
And then it says Preston Elliott, the meat behind the beat. So, yay.
That's great, man.
I've arrived. So, I was very, very happy. So, thank you.
He sent you a couple of different sets?
Yeah, he sent me like a whole box full of them. I mean, like, these aren't going to be for sale.
Right, no.
Like that. But he did it for me, and I thought that was awesome. And the fact that Los Cabos would allow him to do that is pretty cool. So, yeah, here's like a pink pair.
Wow.
Here's a regular, like a hickory kind of. Yeah, there's a hickory set. And I think this is the... the prototype that they did. And what else are there? There's a white one. So a bunch of different pairs.
That's awesome, man.
Stick. So thank you, nice. Man. That was very, very cool. So Los Cabos, I thank you. Very, very wonderful.
Yes, our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, nice.
So, Canadian,
if you will. So I thought that was fun. That's all
great, man. That's cool. It.
Yep.
When you've been playing for a long time, at what point did you settle in on the size of drumstick that you use?
Fairly early on. I think I used 7As, which are thinner than that.
What's a 55A?
I don't know.
Okay.
See, there are standards. There's the B size, which are bigger. Like marching band sticks are really thick, and they might be Bs. I remember I used 2Bs in like orchestra and stuff like that. But 5As for the drum kit, they felt right.
Okay.
I don't know. You play around, you see what feels good to you.
What's a dig for?
It's to pee with.
Okay. There was a there was a Grecian urn question on Jeopardy last night, Steve.
Really?
I was watching.
Yeah.
I started laughing when the clue came up.
How was it phrased?
Man, I can't remember that.
It wasn't a joke, verbiage. Was it?
No. Okay. It had to do with, I believe, like a poem. I'll try and remember the context, but it came up. My girlfriend and I were sitting on the couch watching Jeopardy, and I just started laughing. The joke wasn't told at all. It's just Steve was in my brain, and I started giggling.
Were Greeks known for their urns?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know. Like,
by the way, last night we have those nights. I was running the category.
Oh, you were nailing it.
I was
nailing
it.
Is that not the best? Do you not feel like the smartest person in the world?
Boom! Boom! And I'm like, I turned to Claire and I said,
"This is easy.
I am rocking this one tonight." Yeah.
Ah, this game's easy. I can do this.
I could do this until you can.
It's like when you have a good night playing, you know, blackjack or something like that. Man. You kidding me?
You know what, though? Easy. At home, I could do that. With the stress of the game, I'd fall apart I always do.
So that guy, Matt, tied James Holzhauer's number of wins in a row. I think 32 or 33, 33 episodes. And he can break the record tonight. He's not approached James's money total yet. And he's still like 40 off of what Ken was able to do.
That's what I was blown away. But Ken Jennings, he had 43 more wins and he'll beat Ken Jennings.
But he's such an impressive contestant.
He is. I like him. His method of playing is a little like
but it works for him. I know what you're saying.
I agree with it, and he should stick with it. My guess is he hits that buzzer more often than not knowing if he knows the answer, and goes for it. He's so smart, he can do that.
Right.
Is that the hing-hing part of it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. And when he goes to answer, it's like, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And then a lot of times he's asking, you know.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. The guy is an incredible repository of Jeopardy information.
There were a bunch of football questions last night, though, in case they didn't. I don't think they got any of those ones.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Yeah. So I was watching the category and I was like, all right, so they excel on everything except sports.
Right.
Who is Babe Ruth?
Remember the time Alex Trebek said, you know, he's like, have any of you ever seen a football?
Right, yeah.
Nice. So he's, but he's won over a million now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What did James win?
I think it was 1.7 million or something like that.
Okay.
James was a little more aggressive in betting. So, like, when it would come to the daily doubles, he would often do the daily, you know, bet it all and whatever. So he would, and he just would end up with these staggering figures. But Matt is going to rival the amount of money that James made.
Matt does the thing that James does, James did. He fishes for the daily doubles.
Yep.
And he doesn't start fishing until there's enough money in the queue for him to start doing it. But to do that, if you're going to go fishing for those daily doubles, you've got to go in the higher money values because they try to refrain from sticking a daily double in a $100 question.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Yep. Is there a way to go find out what the questions were last night? Because I'm interested in the football category.
There are, yes. I'm reading this great book. I'm still reading it. It's by Claire McNear. And Casey, there are all these fan sites about, and they'll go over every question last night. And then sometimes they debate whether or not there's a validity to it. That happens rarely. But yeah, I'll see if I can track it down. By the way, it was an ode to Keats reference. So it was Keats's ode to a Grecian urn. The truth is, this is truth, truth, truth is this, all you need on earth and all you need to know. And that's a Keats poem, ode to a Grecian urn.
All right. Do we have time for something or do we need to break and come back?
We don't have much time. I can give you 5 minutes.
I just want to mention this because it starts today, but Walt Disney World is celebrating its 50th anniversary.
Yeah, wow.
Starting today.
Yes, I remember when it opened.
So for the next 18 months, they'll be hosting ongoing celebrations in honor of the half century. So they're doing apparently a star-studded long weekend of festivities and continuing with a number of new attractions and updated old favorites. But it starts this weekend. So all four of the theme parks are going to participate, and they have some new rides and stuff like that that they're going to be debuting.
Yeah, was it last year where they debuted the Star Wars? Is the Star Wars Hotel?
Where's
the Star Wars Hotel? Is it in Orlando? Is it in California?
The one where they like take you away.
It's like a role playing thing.
Yeah, I only remember reading about the concept and not remembering it.
It's opening March 2022.
Okay,
all right, then I'm way off.
Still on the way. So that'll be a part of their.
Yeah,
and is it in Florida, Kathy? Does it say or California?
Is in Florida.
Two-night
Florida hotel experience will start at $4,800.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Two nights.
Excuse me.
The company revealed in early August that the two-night Florida hotel experience will start at $4,800 for two guests, $5,300 for three, and only $6,000 for four guests.
Listen, son, you're going to take a gap year in college.
Yeah.
Because we're going to Disney World.
Now, mind you.
For two days.
Mind you, everybody around you that is staff is treating you like you're in Star Wars.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it's all a role play.
You have to have money to burn.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Oh, wait. It comes with breakfast.
Oh! Yeah.
Will blue milk be made available for us?
Here's a Little Debbie snack cake and a pint of milk.
All right, hold on. But listen, it does include some things. So it includes breakfast, two lunches, two dinners, a quick meal service per guest. This is all per guest. And then you also get lightsaber training.
Do they give you your lightsaber? Because the lightsabers are, they're a premium item. They actually, the same way the wand, you get the wand at the Harry Potter, attraction, the lightsabers are made, custom made for you.
What's the Galaxy Edge theme park?
I don't know.
It says you get a trip there.
Still stuck on $4,800. Wait a minute. Is that for two people or one person?
That's for two people.
Okay.
Yeah, it's six. So if you wanted to go and leave one kid home, it would cost you $6,000.
Wouldn't you feel excited to be the kid that got left home?
Right. Yeah. So I would recommend if you're going to spend that kind of money, I would go towards the beginning because they'll be excited and ready for it.
Yeah.
A couple of years in, it'll be, all right, here's your lightsaber coming in. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. It's over this way. And
welcome to Tatooine. Here's your purple milk.
Hey, Uncle Owen, how you doing?
Oh, no, these are not the droids you're looking for.
And just going through the motions.
You've never met a more reprehensible beehive scum. Get out of here.
I have to run to Tashi Station to get some power converters. Let's go. Okay, come on. It's over this way.
For sure. Be with you.
All right. So what else are they doing? So one of the new attractions is going to be Ratatouille, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Part of the Star Wars thing?
No. Oh. You brought up the Star Wars thing. Oh. This is another thing.
Oh.
The experience will make riders feel like they've shrunk down to the size of Remy the Mouse for a culinary adventure.
That's cool.
That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
They're also going to step up the fireworks to another level, which is wild because they already do really over-the-top fireworks at
I've never seen.
At Disney. Yeah, in fact, they do more fireworks than any place in the world, I've read.
Is that right? More than KISS?
Because because it's nightly.
It's every night.
Every night. So that means every day.
Every day of the year.
A couple of different parks, too, right? Yeah.
So
fireworks display.
Epcot does a big one. So does Magic Kingdom. Wow. I think they might all. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, no. Hollywood Studios does Fantasmic. It's not a...
Right. Magic King... The one with the animals.
Animal Kingdom?
Animal Kingdom.
The freaking Animal Kingdom.
Felt Peg.
Thank you.
That's exactly what I was doing.
They might not do them because...
They don't.
Yeah. Do they blow up the animals?
Maybe they do. They, you know,
ladies and gentlemen, please look at the elephant in the tall grass to your right. And now, if I may ask you to look to your left, that large giraffe standing by the tree.
We don't have a giraffe.
It's only $6,000 to watch that?
No, that one doesn't cost all of that.
All right.
I don't know what it costs. All right, anyhow, if you want to see...
Well, the animals are expensive.
Right.
They're very expensive.
Some of them are endangered.
I got to tell you, before you push that detonation button, make sure it's the right animal.
So the fireworks display will be more immersive. They'll have more immersive effects that will project from Cinderella Castle down Main Street, USA at the Magic Kingdom Park. Epcot will transform into what they're calling Harmonious, which is one of the largest nighttime spectaculars ever created for Disney parks.
Is that like laser lights and mist projections?
It says, beautifully crafted medley of classic Disney music and visuals reinterpreted by a... culturally diverse group of 240 artists from around the world. So maybe there'll be, I don't know, actors and so on.
It's beautiful.
The show takes place at World Showcase Lagoon with a combination of choreographed moving fountains, lights, pyrotechnics, lasers, and more.
Something like that. Okay.
Attendees will be able to take in a 360-degree view of colorful images and effects comprised of Disney story favorites, such as Moana, Aladdin, Coco, Brave, The Lion King, Mulan, and exploding lions.
Later, you return to your hotel only to be lulled to sleep by the sound of exploding animals.
Yep. They're also going to do this, the search for the golden sculptures.
Okay.
So, do you know about the hidden Mickeys?
I do not. Is it similar to the what you're using in the wand at the Harry Potter Wizarding World?
No, just throughout the park.
Okay.
And especially in Magic Kingdom, there are Mickey Mouses that are hidden in, like, the rock formations. And you have to stand at a certain...
It'd be Mickey Mice, right?
Yeah, okay. What did I say?
You said Mickey Mouses.
No, his name is Mickey Mouse.
I know.
All right, anyhow.
Mickey Mice.
Suck it with your Cambridge comma or whatever it is, all right?
Oxford comma.
Oxford comma. Yeah. Cambridge, it's another school.
It's nearby. It's
smart. No, you would be right in saying Mickey Mouses because that's the character's name.
Yes,
he is.
It's like fathers-in-law.
Yeah, the Meekles, Mickey Mises.
The Meekles. Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mises?
Fathers-in-law.
It's not father-in-laws. It's the noun there is fathers, so it's fathers-in-law.
Fathers-in-law. Attorneys general.
I don't want to talk about grammar right now.
Like,
I want to talk about the golden sculptures.
It's attorney's mouse.
Search for the golden sculptures. All right, there are apparently you need to keep an eye out for 50 gilded sculptures.
50 gilded sculptures.
Yes, known as the Disney Fab 50 character collection.
Oh,
so
wow.
Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck, Daisy Ducky, Daisy Duck, Goofy. Shut up.
Daisy Ducky.
And Pluto will be just some of the characters rendered in gold to find throughout all four of the parks.
So there's a video of someone showing some of the more discreetly hidden
Mickey
Mouses.
Mm-hmm.
And that is cool. It's like finding the Playboy emblem on the cover.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
This is more for families.
And some of the employees at work there, like, know where they are. And if you're lucky, they'll point one or two of them out to you. But
that is cool.
Got to go around and look for them.
All right, so, Nick, if something is owned by my father-in-law, would it be my father-in-law's?
Yeah, but that's an apostrophe S.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you guys have all of you been to Disney World recently? Or
no. Not recently.
It's been a few years.
Okay.
You've never been, Nick?
Not since I was a kid. No, okay. Like sixth grade was the last time I was there. And you guys obviously have raved about it a million times in Universal and all those theme parks. I'd love to get back.
Of the two, Preston, of Universal and Star Wars, I think and Walt Disney, are you saying, you say Universal's
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, okay, so the rides... much more exciting, and Harry Potter, that whole thing is incredible. And now that I'm reading the books, it's going to be even cooler for me to go there. But you can't beat the magic of Disney and that feeling like a kid thing. Now, I think the rides are less exciting, therefore not worth waiting in line for.
Right.
And so I would get more enjoyment out of Universal Studios.
Okay.
That's me personally.
Universal, I think, I found was a little more... manageable. Like, Disney can be very overwhelming.
Yes.
I think there's more to do. Well, obviously, there is more to do at Disney. There's more theme parks.
Right.
But it can get overwhelming with all of the rules and passes and this and that and whatever. I felt like Universal was, you know, it was so
manageable.
Crowded. There was still a lot of
all
people,
right.
But it was more manageable.
All right, there's one last thing I want to mention because we do have to break. But they're going to do this thing at Disney, part of the 50th celebration. The Animal Kingdom is launching what they call Kite Tales,
which
is an aerial show of choreographed kites and wind catchers, Kathy.
Whoa.
That's not a dream catcher.
Yeah.
That apparently they do these three-dimensional soaring renditions of characters such as Simba, Zazu, King Louie, Baloo, and others. I like the idea of that. I can't imagine off the top in my mind what that exactly would look like.
Oh, we're looking at it was sort of a projection, a rendering.
They're only 10-minute-long performances, and I guess it'll be like... water fountain performances. You just kind of happen upon it, and you watch it for a little bit, and then you move on. But I think that sounds pretty cool.
So, it's got to be weather-dependent, though, right?
I mean, I was thinking about that, Nick. I will bet you they have high-powered fans.
Yeah?
Knowing Disney...
Yeah, I guess
that
so.
That they can set up that will make that available anytime they need it
to
be
done. They're being pulled behind... or maybe this is incorrect, but it looks like they're being pulled by... Ski-doos or watercraft, and that's why they're able to gain height.
I bet that's how they do it, something like that. All right, well, anyhow, these are some of the things they're going to be doing for
Pretty
Disney.
Pretty amazing.
And Dan, I know you're on hold, but we don't have time to go to you. He's a regular, like, three times a year Disney guy who can bring us up to speed. I appreciate you being on hold.
Maybe next time, Dan.
We have to take a break, so... let's do that because we want to stay on time for the MMR money clip, and I have some bizarre file stories coming up, too. So we'll come back with that in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you this morning by WPHL-TV. Young Sheldon joins the Big Bang Theory on PHL 17. Weeknights at 7 and 9:30. Family night every night is on PHL. So we're giving this. A passenger on a flight that landed in Miami on Wednesday was taken into custody after opening a door and jumping onto the plane's wing before it reached the terminal. The passenger, identified as a 33-year-old U.S. citizen, Christian Segura, opened an emergency door of the aircraft after it arrived at Miami International Airport from Colombia.
It's okay, I'm a limo driver.
The plane was still pulling into the designated gate when he opened an emergency door and jumped onto the wing. I don't know how he's able to do that.
You would hope that there would be some things that would stop a passenger from doing that.
Yeah, Segura jumped off of the wing when officers arrived, and he was detained by agents from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. I guess it's not pressurized by the time they get on the ground.
Sure, but I mean, just the door should be a little bit more difficult.
All passengers were able to get off the plane without any issues. All other customers deplaned normally. This is wild. A 59-year-old former French police officer has unmasked himself as a notorious serial killer in a suicide note written just before he overdosed on pills on Wednesday.
Wow.
That man, identified only as Francois V, had been called in for questioning in connection with the case of a killer that was dubbed Grela, G-R-E-L-A. And they called him that because he had a pockmarked face. I don't know what Grele means in French, but it has something to do
with
that.
Probably means pockmarked face.
His body was said to have been discovered Wednesday at a seaside resort near Montpellier. He had reportedly been due to provide his DNA to police, but never showed up. And now a DNA test is said to be underway to confirm whether the story in his suicide note is true. If so, he would be responsible for a string of rapes and killings in Paris in the 1980s and 90s, including the murders of 11-year-old Cecil Bloch and 38-year-old Giles Politi and his 21-year-old au pair Imgrad Mueller, both of whom were savagely tortured before they were killed.
How many victims in total do they say?
I don't know.
Okay.
The murder of a 19-year-old woman named Corinne Leroy has also been attributed to the pockmarked killer. The serial killer terrorized Paris for years and was also accused in 6 different rapes as well as the murders.
Wow.
The crimes were shockingly brutal. I went on to read some of the details. I'm not going to give them to you here because they're really, really bad. But as these cases are, usually I bet they will connect him to several other people that they found that have been killed without without resolving who the murderer was.
Sure. When I first saw this story, Preston, it reminded me of the deputy in the Dead Zone. Who was working cases, but was actually the one who was killing.
Here's a story out of California. Viejo police say a large brawl of around 100 kids broke out on Saturday night at Six Flags Discovery Kingdom.
A kid brawl?
Yeah. They say that many were detained and one person was put in custody and their parents handed a citation. According to an eyewitness, Israel Cartagena said it was massive. People were just running towards it, punching and fighting out of control.
Wow.
And Saturday night was the opening of Fright Night.
Hey! Well, they lived up to their fright.
Police say the fight happened just before the park closed. According to police radio transmissions, the group was described as, quote, 100 kids.
Jeez. Never see this at one of Kathy's fall activities.
Cartagena and his family took shelter in the gift shop. He said they were scared, talking about his kids. They were not used to seeing anything like that. My 6-year-old just wanted out. After that, he wanted to go home. Police say they had several reports of kids acting erratically, and they say that they have reports of some committing battery on officers on duty and obstructing others from helping. Wow.
Is this just a way to get them into the gift shop?
That's crazy, man. The 18th time thieves tried to steal meat mogul Evan Rexler's exotic sports cars, he ran naked from his bed with a loaded semi-automatic rifle to fire warning shots from his porch. And there's video
there's
of it,
video,
too.
And it's, listen, the guy comes out like, he didn't have time to put his clothes
he
on.
He was sleeping naked, and he's like, and this is the 18th time. The gunfire worked, and the thief fled. But Rexler has bared his frustration with police he claimed were more concerned with his vigilantism than catching the car bandits who have targeted his Ferrari, Lamborghini, and Hummer collection for the past 2 years.
Yeah, they arrested him, right?
He got cited, yes. Yeah, so as recently as Sunday night, footage shows thieves broke into his Mercedes G-Wagon parked in his Fort Lee, New Jersey driveway.
18 times they've been at the house.
Looking for keys to his more exotic rides. It was the same MO thieves used at last August to steal his rare Lamborghini Aventador, which is worth more than $500,000. The Lamborghini, which at the time was one of 10 in America, was found last week with $80,000 worth of damage at an abandoned Newark house. The second-generation butcher turned high-end hamburger and steak supermarket wholesaler, who goes by the Sophisticated Gentleman on Instagram, lives in a mansion in the exclusive bluff section of Fort Lee overlooking the Hudson River.
Yeah.
He claims to have called police 25 times during attempted heist since August of 2019, but police have only caught the thieves once earlier this year.
So what does the guy do? How do you know he's trying to protect his stuff?
I know. But I guess, yeah, I don't know if you can go popping off rounds at a car thief.
What if you had exploding animals?
Maybe that'd be different. Okay. But I don't know what his story is, but he parks them right in front of his house,
right,
too.
So, yeah, you know, maybe a secured garage.
It's illegal. Yeah. You can't fire it at people that are in your front yard. I don't know what the story is. So anyhow, the video is quite classic, but he's doing what he's got to do to hang on to his vehicles. He runs out naked.
Yeah.
And chases them off the ground. The grounds, I should say. All right. And then we'll go with this story. In the Congo, a new craze for a drug derived from crushed vehicle exhaust filters is rattling authorities in Kinshasa in the Congo. So you know what it is? It's catalytic converters. And now, not only are people, this is in the Congo, stealing them for the metal, they're stealing them to make a drug.
So they huff it?
What? Do they have any idea what the catalytic converters, when they made this thing, what they were creating all those years ago?
It's like the Arm & Hammer of automotive pieces.
There's a brown powder that is obtained from crushing the ceramic honeycomb core of automotive catalytic converters.
This is insane.
Mechanics blame rising demand for the drug on a rash of thefts of catalytic converters, which are coated with metals such as platinum, palladium, and rhodium.
So they snort it?
I don't know if they're smoking it or
they're cutting it here like cocaine in the video or what.
Yeah, I don't know if you end up smoking it or what. But the metals in catalytic converters, by the way, can cause cancer if you are doing this. But nonetheless, they are using them to get high on top of, you know, selling the metals and stuff like that.
It's insane.
That is crazy.
Huffing a catalytic converter.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. You have less than 5 minutes now. The word is expose to get in on the $500 cash that we have for the MMR money clip. So text the word to 45911, expose, or enter it via the MMR app or through WMMR.com, and you just might win. But you're running out of time, so make sure you do that soon. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a second. Stay with us.
Did you know you could listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Friday morning. No, San Bro. No. Because we're going to be giving some stuff away before we call it a day. And maybe you'll be a winner. We'll see what the money clips. If not, in this last one, don't fret because we got more of those coming up later on with Pierre and company here at WMMR. In the meantime, something else to give away. We are going to do a pair of tickets to see Patton Oswalt at the Met on Saturday the 9th. And all you have to do is answer this question correctly. And we will go with this. How many chickens for a goat? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the current rate exchange. How many chickens for a goat If you were listening and you heard this, that was during Kathy's fall activity.
Yes.
Which, by the way, that list brought to you by Acme Markets is fully available at PrestonandSteve.com, and it is the best one yet, I think. How many chickens for a goat? 215-263-WMMR. Call now.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, it is brought to you by Major League Wrestling. Invades 2300 Arena this Saturday night with a huge title versus title main event. And you can see a live TV taping. Tickets at MLW2300.com. And the arena box office. What's happening, Steve?
Well, the royalty rights for the famous Folgers coffee jingle are going up for auction, meaning whoever buys it will get paid every time it is used. Expecting to yield far less at the royalty auction is the tagline, "You won't stink," from Blue Emu.
Hey!
A new TV commercial featuring a topless Khloe Kardashian rolling around in bed has been turned down for being too provocative. While nothing explicit is seen, Khloe is shown riding on a bed before pulling the sheet up to reveal that her ankle is caught in a bear trap.
Oh, my God.
And finally, rapper Tyga says he really enjoyed being the Dalmatian on The Masked Singer. The former boyfriend of Kylie Jenner says it was a refreshing change from constantly getting recognized at the unemployment office. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we go to the phone, see if we get an answer to this. What is the conversion here? How many chickens for a goat? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I will go to Mike and see if he knows. Hey, Mike.
Godzilla.
Godzilla to you, sir. How many chickens for a goat?
That would be two.
Yes. Hey! Hang on, Mike. Got yourself some tickets to see the one and only Patton Oswalt, who will be at the Met on Saturday, October 9th. And tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you this morning by Major League Wrestling. Major League Wrestling invades the 2300 Arena. It's this Saturday night, tomorrow night. Huge title versus title main event. And you can see live TV taping as well. Tickets are available at MLW2300.com and the arena box office. Coldplay has released the video for their new hit collaboration with BTS called My Universe.
I saw it.
You did?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's nice.
Lots of dancing.
I like the dancing.
All right. The clip is set in the distant galaxy of the spheres. Where music is forbidden, but BTS, Coldplay, and an alien supergroup called Supernova 7 unite via hologram to defy the ban.
Hey, you can't keep us from singing.
My Universe is included on Coldplay's new album, Music of the Spheres, which is due out on October 15th. Incubus will perform a live-streamed concert on October 23rd to celebrate the 20th anniversary of their 2001 album, Morning View. They'll perform in Malibu, the place where they wrote and recorded Morning View, which has been certified double platinum.
It's pretty a cool place to record.
They will perform the album in its entirety during this special live stream, and tickets are available now online at incubus.veeps.com. AC/DC has just issued Through the Mists of Time, their latest video from last year's chart-topping Power Up collection. The new clip, which was directed by Najib Tarazi, marks the third video from the album, following Realize and Witch's Spell. Blabbermouth reported that the clip is a rock and roll museum tour through an exhibition of the band's incredible history. Based on a concept by Angus Young, and using footage of each of the five band members in five separate shoots around the world. They then enlisted Mathematic, which is a Paris-based visual effects studio, to combine all of the elements so that the band could take the stage together to perform the fan favorite from Power Up, almost 1 year to the day that the highly anticipated album was announced. Rolling Stones have issued a lyric video for the latest latest teaser from the band's upcoming super deluxe edition of 1981's Tattoo You, which drops on October 22nd. This time, the band has released its long bootlegged but previously unreleased cover of the Chi Lights 1971 track Troubles A Comin'. Or is it the Chi Lights? I'm not sure.
Let's go with the Chi Lights.
The new version included on the set's Lost and Found bonus disc. which sports a new Mick Jagger lead vocal. Keyboardist percussion on lead guitar by Ron Wood was originally tracked during the 1979 sessions for the following year's Emotional Rescue album. And speaking of the Stones, I mentioned this in our entertainment report earlier this morning. The Stones yesterday played in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was either yesterday or the day before. And while there, Mick Jagger went to a bar called the Thirsty Saloon to grab a beer.
By himself.
And no one recognized him. Not one single person. There are pictures of him standing there.
Yeah.
And people just oblivious that quite possibly the most famous rock star in the world is standing right next to them just having a beer. And it stayed that way.
Hi, Mick.
Yeah. Hi, Mick. Nobody knew his name. Making your way. But the gentleman who owns the bar, believe
it's
or not.
It's a dog eat dog world, and I'm wearing milk bone underwear.
Mick. That's the best. But the owner of the bar's name is
Norm, played by Mick Jagger.
Brian Wilson, and he said he had no idea that Mick Jagger came in. He said, I wasn't there. I missed it. I was putting my little girl to bed, and apparently the name of the place is called the Thirsty Beaver, by the way. He said he left the Beaver around 5, came back around 11:45 that night, and there was no buzz, no gossip, no talk about the fact that Mick Jagger strolled in and had a beer. And, well, like Kathy was saying earlier this morning, he probably loved it.
Yeah.
He probably absolutely loved that he could just hang out. Nobody bothered him. Or it sent him into a deep depression. I don't know. But you would think that that would be a real treat for him, a guy who is constantly bombarded no matter where he goes.
A little taste of what it was like prior to the fame. And either, as you said, it was wonderful or it terrified him.
Yep. Huh. I thought that was pretty great. I don't know if he's commented on it yet. But
I liked it.
I'll bet. All right. And then one last story. MMR presents Tool. And the show, by the way, tickets went on sale today at 10 a.m. And we would like to congratulate the winner of that contest, MMR VIP, or I'm sorry, the winner of the MMR VIP contest. And that is Tracy Banks from Langhorne, PA. So she walks away with tickets to that show. I don't have the date of the show. Was that on your sheet, Casey?
Maybe. No.
All right, so
February 20th.
All right, thank you. February 20th, and tickets went on sale 10 a.m. Remember to opt in to receive VIP emails. We'll let you know when there are win tickets, when there are win tickets before you can buy them. Contests that are going on like this.
Okay.
If you're a VIP member, you opt in. We will let you know when this type of thing is going on, and you'll be like Tracy Banks from Langhorne, PA, and possibly when you'll slump some tickets to a big show like Tool. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in music news. We have one final break to take. When we come back, we'll give away our Word of the Week prize, turn it over to Pierre, and get you in to your weekend. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Volbeat.
When I met him, my girl. When I met him, my love.
The Record Company. Fozzy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Wrapping up the show today, we'd like to thank Shane Torres for being on Punchline Philly tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 9:45 p.m. shows. Go to punchlinephilly.com to get the details. We also had a quick call from our friend Brian Propp of the Flyers.
Yep.
And the 37th annual Bancroft Golf Outing is on Monday at Galloway National Golf Club in New Jersey. And that's to help people with autism. It's the Bancroft group that's putting this on. And it is they help with people with autism, intellectual and developmental disabilities, brain injury, and neurological conditions. And he had a stroke 6 years ago, so he's definitely heavily involved in
Think
that.
About how well he's doing after the stroke. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, there was a time where he couldn't even pick up a golf club, and now he plays. And I'm happy that he's recovered in the way that he has. Pierre Robert is looking snappy today, man. Wow.
Well, if
special
you're
occasion.
Going to be on the cover of GQ, you've got to be prepared.
That's right. You do need to be.
Yeah, the photo shoot, we've just started it right here.
I got you. I saw that. Yeah.
I didn't say anything because I was like, maybe he went to a funeral.
I actually did.
Okay. That's what I thought.
It happens.
Yeah, it always happens when you see somebody that's dressed up that's not normally dressed up. I'm like, man, you look good. Yeah, my cousin died.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. But right. More on that another time.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to a shinier subject, and we'll do the letter of the day. You ready?
I think fine.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
By the way, my favorite thing to do when you say things to that is to look at Nick's face. Because he's heard it for years as your producer. So, all right, anyhow, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
E is in energize.
Energize, they say on the Enterprise.
Star Trek thing.
Yeah.
When they're transporting.
Call number 7 at 215-263-WMMR, and we are going to see if you can give us the word of the week and maybe give you that word of the week prize. So call number 7 at 215-263-WMMR. Let's have you take a shot at that. It is another beautiful day today, even more so than yesterday.
Perfect.
Sunny and cool and crisp and fantastic, man.
All of that.
It's going to be a great day to wrap the work week up with.
So nice. Yeah. You guys had a fun show today, and we've got a fun program. We've got Low Cut Connie tickets, a really entertaining band.
I tell you what, I'm sorry to interrupt. No. So I was not familiar with them.
Yeah.
And Sarah sent us over a video of those guys. Oh, my God, do they look like so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't help but have... There's, like, 100 people on stage. People are dancing, singing along. Outstanding musicianship. Yeah. I was really impressed with them.
It's like a Jerry Lee Lewis meets Queen or something.
Yeah.
It's really great fun. And they'll play the Met. They haven't played it. They're from Philly, but they haven't been here for a couple of years.
Well, we were supposed to have them in studio next week to perform, but the building poo-pooed that just because of where we're at. And so hopefully we'll be able to do something with them in the near future, in the next month or two.
Yeah. Cool. Sorry to interrupt, but I had to jump in there with that.
Good.
They look like
we're
fun.
Building a performance room too.
Yes.
Yep, it's going to be great.
Is really looking nice.
Yeah, it does.
Along. Yeah.
Yep.
So we've got that. We've got the money contest, money clips at noon and 2 p.m. Low Cut Connie tickets. We've got in honor of Tool going on sale. Jackson has tickets to give away later this afternoon, by the way, but we'll have a workforce block of Tool, a block of the great band, Lowell and Company, Little Feet. We have a request for today, which we will honor. Some music from The Who, and we'll get some Dylan in because Dylan's coming back to the Met on November 29th, vinyl cut, and much more.
Did you catch any of Kathy's fall activities list this morning?
I caught it yesterday, where she was talking about wanting to go see Dylan and sitting in the front row after she goes to a Fish show and then going to the Tool show.
Yeah, she loves that.
No, there's one on there that I think that Pierre would dig, which was that tent in the backyard.
Yes.
Where they come and set this up in your yard. It's not camping per se, but it's...
It's called Buck's Glamping.
Yeah, I could see this. I could see you doing this at your house, setting this up and having some friends over. It is so cool. And you can check out the list on PrestonandSteve.com. Nick's going to pull up a picture for you to see. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's my idea of camping.
Right? Totally.
Can you keep bugs out and things?
Yes. And they come and they set it up for you.
Wow.
Yeah, and it does. It can, like, you can zip it closed, and it's like a net, so you're not going to get attacked by bugs.
No spiders and creepy things. Wow. I like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
And thank you to Kyle McCarty for the Kathy's Fall Activities jingle, because it was just brilliant, and I love it. All right, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to see if we can get a winner. We're looking for caller number 7, and that's Sarah. Hi there, Sarah.
Good morning.
So, Sarah, what's our word of the week?
The word is leave.
Great day in the morning.
Leave is correct. And normally, Sarah, I have this lengthy script of things to tell you about and sponsors to thank for the wonderful prize that you won. I don't have it. I just have $300 for you. That's all.
That is awesome. Thank you so much, and happy Friday.
Woo! Yeah, same to you.
Thank
great
treasure
on you, Sarah. Enjoy. All right, hang on the line. We'll get your info. We'll set you up with the cash. That's all there is to it. I would like to thank our sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. We've been brought to you today by Acme. You can download the Acme app to see your all-new deals, rewards, and perks today. Visit acmemarkets.com for details. Also brought to you by Frolic's Farm Fall Festival, kicking off tomorrow with a special appearance from Nick McElwain. info@frolicsfarm.com, and also brought to you by Six Flags Fright Fest.
Nice.
Presented by Snickers.
And Snickers.
You can get the tickets as low as $34.99 at sixflags.com. Wait till you hear what we have coming up next week on the
Preston
Station.
What do you have coming up next week?
Fortune Feimster will be joining us.
Love her.
Henry Winkler will be on the program. Nice. Rick Wakeman of Yes will be joining us. John Lithgow will be on the show.
Are you kidding me?
How awesome is that, right?
Amazing.
David Boreanaz, local fellow, who we talked to many times.
He's great.
And comedian Margaret Cho. We have a chunky week next week.
Action a pacto on.
I love it on. Thank you, sir. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great day, great weekend. Enjoy it, and we will see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.